One move and you're both dead men. You hear me, asshole?
Is this something new for you, son?
Shut up! Shut your goddamn mouth!
Hey, fine. No problem. There's the cash register, and right up there is the television camera. And there's a nice full face shot. How about a profile? Look, there's a couple of ways we can do this.
I told you to shut up!
Fine. I'm just saying you got to think these things through. You don't just come walking into some place, waving a gun around, and expect the world to put up with that. It's not acceptable behavior.
Yeah? Are you going to stop me?
Hell no. Go right ahead. Probably got a minute or two. Maybe you don't. Just trying to help you, son. Boy's got a bad attitude.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Lesson, you'll never get beat up at school again.
I'm not going to school anymore.
Don't say that. School's very important. If you drop out, you won't get anywhere in life. You'll just hang around the house all day, eating and watching TV.
I want to be like you.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry. All right. Now, the trick here is to concentrate all your energy. And let it explode in a blinding flash of destruction. Watch. Somebody save
me. Let you all let us break ground. Yes. 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 Yes.
To remain silent, you give up the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law.
Okay, McCloud.
Why do you wear sunglasses at night?
Because when you're cool, the sun shines on you 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah?
Chill out, Butch. And get a shave.
Yeah! Woo-hoo! Yes! We're back! Hey!
Hey, what's up? Hey, everybody. Welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry. Welcome to the show. I am the J-Strom. Film, television, and pop culture is what we do. And we're here to talk about it with you. We are Steven the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey!
Man, I did not word that well. And Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hello.
It's been a while.
We are Steven. We are Legion.
We are
Legion. Hey, Bill, how's it going, buddy?
I'm all right. How are you?
Now, I know we're out of practice, guys. I don't remember how to do the show. It took tremendous effort to put the show together today. I'm telling you, I've gotten...
We're doing a show? No one told me.
I've gotten so lazy, you know?
I don't think it's laziness. I think it's just
you are enjoying your
appreciation
vacation.
Of not having to do a show.
It's hard to focus, to sit down and focus, you know?
You must focus.
And, like, Bill, there's certain shows I want to talk about, like MasterChef and stuff. I've watched them erratically and kind of half-watched of different shows.
Yeah.
But
that's why I watch them all the time. So when
I go back, okay, let me find a good clip of something here. I'm like trying to remember. I'm like, I don't remember any of this. You know,
I want to talk Falling Skies because I really enjoyed that.
Now we are going to talk about that, Bill. We're going to spend a lot of time on that because, you know, we don't have a lot of shows to talk about. But I did want to mention our Nowhere in Mulberry movie minis. We put out two. We did one for X-Men. First Class, and one for Super 8. And I hope everybody enjoyed those. I can understand if you didn't listen, if you didn't see the movies. And some people listened even though they didn't see the movies, which kind of disturbed me because, you know, I'm really just like, I'm not into spoilers and stuff. So I was like,
that's stupefying to me.
But it's like, we ruined the movie for you. Why did you do it? And, you know, like Laura listened to the X-Men show. She's never watched the X-Men. She's like, I haven't watched any X-Men movie. I don't care. I just wanted to hear your show. So I was like, okay, that's acceptable. You have no interest in ever watching it.
Right.
But she was like, I might watch it now. But it's like, no, we ruined it for you.
I don't think so. I don't think X-Men... I think X-Men's just an enjoyable flick.
Yeah, there's nothing that happens in X-Men where...
It's
in the past, in the 60s, and you know what eventually happens to the X-Men or whatever.
Right.
It's not... It's just an origin story, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, you're right, Bill. We're not really ruining anything. Super 8, yes, we would ruin everything for you. I really want to do more with you, Bill. I had a lot of fun.
I want to do it more with you, too.
You're talking about the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Because I got addicted to post-production. Like, if you listen to the Super 8 show, there's a lot of post-production on there, putting a little polish on there. You know? Just got a little shiny.
Shiner, yeah. It turned out really well.
Well, thanks. I want to do more, buddy.
So we will, definitely.
We've been planning to do more.
There's one we keep putting off only because it's so painful.
Right. I really want to. I've got. It's like when someone dies, Bill, and you just have to let them go. I need to let this movie go.
We're in a wake period.
I want to do where they light the lantern and it floats up in the sky, you know? That's what I want to do with this certain movie. Get my
Chinese
little...
lantern.
Yeah, do you guys get my little... okay, whatever. I can't spell it out anymore for you of what movie we're talking about. Hopefully you figure it out. But and Bill, we are also... We want... You and I mean, we talk about a lot of things.
Royal we...
The Royal We talk about commentaries, and we really want to work on those. It's already July. I'm like, what the hell happened to June? It's gone. So I want July to be the month of commentaries. Okay, Bill?
All right.
We're going to do it. Ha! Well, except for the last week of July, because I'm going on vacation. We're actually going to SeaWorld.
Woohoo!
All right.
And the only thing I dread about it is that it's in San Antonio, like the most humid place on the planet.
In July.
So Arlington is less humid than San Antonio?
Yeah, it really is. We don't really have a humid climate here, but
it's humid here.
Certain times of year, it can get really humid and miserable. But I think that San Antonio, like if you go to southern Texas, like Houston and stuff, it's always humid.
Okay. Yeah. So San Antonio's closer proximity to the water.
Yes.
Right.
So it would be more humid.
Yeah. So basically.
And smelly.
Basically here, there are certain times of year where it gets that way. But if it was like that all the time, I wouldn't.
Well, it's not that close to the Gulf, actually.
I mean, it's closer than we are, obviously.
It's south enough to get humid.
Yeah,
you're
not going
to
smell anything.
The most humid place I've ever been to in my life, and I know, you know, I haven't been around everywhere. I'm not like this big world traveler, but we went to New Orleans and
pretty muggy.
It's so muggy there. Like when I watch Treme, I'm like, why aren't these people all sweaty? What's going on here? You know, because I've been there, man, and I was just soaking wet the entire time. Like, I mean, I was dripping sweat.
They got a refrigerated box truck for all the actors.
It's like, do they have a fan just blowing on?
The South is off limits to me. I can't handle heat.
And
never could.
I've nearly melted several times, Bill. And even this week, you know, that's another thing. You know how we had, what was it, in April, the air conditioner? We had it replaced on my house. Last week, you know, Em and I are driving on the freeway. We're driving home. We're not that far. And
driving on the freeway of love. Sorry.
Okay. In a pink Cadillac.
Cadillac.
The cold air stopped blowing.
Don't know.
And I was like, no.
Bad sign.
So we got that fixed over the weekend. $1,000. Good times. No more AC shit, okay? I've had enough. So anyway, yeah, that's pretty much what's been going on with me. How have you guys been doing? What's up, Steven?
Same thing, just traveling everywhere. Just got back. I've been up since about 1 a.m.
Oh, my goodness. So you're pretty tired right now?
Yeah, to try and catch the early flight, I was 2.5 hours from an airport. So, I mean, I drove all night. I mean, I slept.
I drove all night.
It's a song feel.
It's karaoke night.
Yeah, Bill. Hey, why don't you sing us a song, man?
But where were you? You're keeping it a mystery.
I was in Elkins, West Virginia.
Are you sure?
Yes.
West Virginia. Nice. Okay.
I was in it's such a small town. I had to drive 30 minutes to a bigger small town to get to a Walmart. That's how small this town
is. Not acceptable behavior.
Now, Bill.
So I'm looking where Elkins is.
Elkins. Never heard of it.
Elkins is in the ass of West Virginia, basically. Well, no, more of the crotch.
Hey, yeah. Fine.
Bill, did you know what clip that was in the intro?
Which one?
The Tommy Lee Jones.
You know what? No, I don't.
I don't know what made me look this up, but it's from Black Moon Rising, the Tommy Lee Jones, Linda Hamilton movie with the like jet car. Have you guys ever seen
it? I have never seen it.
I saw this movie in the theater, and it looks like a TV show. It looks like a pilot to a TV show. I don't know.
So, like, they shot it on video? Or?
No, it's on film, but it looks so cheap. It looks like an episode of Hunter. And the whole movie
John Carpenter wrote it.
Yeah, John Carpenter wrote it. The whole movie's up on YouTube. And I was just sitting there watching. I'm like, I saw this in a movie theater. What
oh,
the
nice.
Hell?
Robert Vaughn. Is he the bad guy?
I think he is.
Shut Please. Up. Shut your goddamn mouth.
Hey. So it opens up with a kid robbing a liquor store. And he gives that line like, kid's got a bad attitude. Cut to credits, and it's like, oh man, we're in for a show, buddy.
I'm trying to decipher the movie poster, and it I can't figure it out.
Is this something new for you, son?
It almost looks like Tommy Lee Jones is a cyborg.
The best part of the movie is Will Sanderson plays a mute, like, bum guy who befriends Tommy Lee Jones.
Nice.
That is the best part of the movie. Wow. Okay.
It's not acceptable.
That poor guy always gets those strange roles.
Yeah, good old J.F. Sebastian. Now, guys, we have a couple of voicemails. Let's go ahead and check them out. The first one is Sean. Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Hey, Mulberry. Sean in L.A. Just wanted to send a quick voicemail and let you guys know that the first episode of the NIMH movie Minis of X-Men was really a good listen. It was detailed enough, but didn't go on for too long. And I think Jason and Bill, you guys did a good job of breaking down the movie and letting us know what you liked and didn't like.
Thank you, sir.
And kept it interesting and entertaining at the same time. So I really enjoyed listening to it. And I was really surprised at how fast it came out. It seemed like you guys recorded and edited and pumped that out, and it seemed like a matter of days. So that was really cool. And can't wait for the next one. Hopefully it's Mr. Popper's Penguins, because I think
the
audience is dying for that movie, which I think came
out today.
Love
Penguins.
So we'll record it and pump it out so we can listen to it next week, right, guys? Okay. So anyway, other than that, great show last week. And I'm not sure if you guys are doing another show this week, but if you do, break a leg, and I'll talk to you later. All right, love you. Bye.
Thank you, Sean. Much love,
Sean. Wait, he just said he loved us.
Yes, much love to you, Sean. You know, I actually saw Mr. Popper's Penguins, and it's a cute movie, and it's got penguin fart jokes in it. How can that not be a good movie? Come on.
Sounds like gold. Movie gold.
I told you a couple days ago, I was reading Michael Chabon did this, or Chabon, I should say, did this book called Manhood for Amateurs. In one part, he talks about like the crap that he watched as a kid trying to justify the crap his kids watch now. Right. And one of his main things, his hang-ups about movies was CGI penguins. I hate CGI penguins.
Right. I can understand Happy Feet because that's an abomination. And I still sometimes have to wrestle with the fact that the man who created one of my favorite film franchises also created Happy Feet, George Miller. Mm-hmm. The guy who did Mad Max did this piece of shit. It makes your skin crawl. It makes your body want to just vomit up everything you ate that day. Maybe even your own insides.
I don't understand. You don't like singing and dancing penguins?
It's just nauseating, inducing.
Well, and he made one of my all-time favorite films also, and that's Babe, Pig in the City.
Right.
Pig in the City is quite possibly one of the most perfect films. I'm not lying.
I've seen
that movie.
It hits me
in a spot that anytime I see it, I will burst into tears.
I remember there's one little creature there where they're all going hungry. I don't remember what it is. Is it a cat or something?
Yeah, I think it's a trio of cats.
And he goes, "I'm still hungry." Aw, poor little guy. Make him a sandwich or something.
But there's a part where there's a Jack Russell Terrier that's handicapped.
Yes.
And he gets hit by a truck.
I know. What the hell?
There,
so manipulative.
I burst out crying. And then to tap it off, to make it perfect, at the end, when all the animals go to the Hoggett farm, there's the Jack Russell Terrier chasing a truck, you know, hanging on, just getting wheeled along. And it makes me – oh, and isn't there a scene where he's in like a field of flowers jumping at a butterfly?
Yeah.
Like when he's dreaming after he was hit and he can walk and jump. And I mean, good freaking Lord, George Miller. He gave the idea to the ASPCA commercial with all the sad animals.
Right.
It rips my heart out.
He's
very
effective at what he does, but for some reason, Happy Feet, it's like so cute, it makes you want to just kill something, you know?
It's almost like the scene in Mad Max where his wife and daughter get run over.
Yeah, it's just like, come on.
He's like, no!
Boy's got a bad attitude.
But he's good at what he does. I don't know how he fell into this stuff. And I don't know what Mad Max Fury Road is going to be about. I have no idea.
Does he have children?
He must have.
Grandchildren?
He must.
Because I have to think that that's what Eddie Murphy got pulled into.
Yeah, you have family and stuff. I'm going to make movies for my kids or something.
Probably his kids saw the March of the Penguins, and they're like, hey.
The Happy Feet 2 trailer is bad.
Oh, my God.
There's like rapping and urban hip-hop type of thing there.
It's like Step Up.
It's
dance off. There's like the little boys doing I'm gonna knock you out.
Then
the girl penguins start doing sexy back. And
I can't even tell you just how much it made my skin crawl. It just
actually
bad.
Made my head explode like scanners.
But I wanted to talk about, you know, the movie minis when Sean was talking about, like the X-Men thing. And it's just part of me that doesn't want to rate films. There's something about rating films, and I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. Because I wondered if some people were like, what's the big deal about rating things? But here's the thing. Everybody rates movies, or they give it stars. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, Bill, I'll see people on Facebook or friends like say, oh, man, I saw Bridesmaid. That's the funniest movie I've seen all year. 3 stars. Okay.
Well, 3 stars for the funniest movie?
If it's the funniest, why doesn't it automatically get
more
and everything
off.
Less?
You know, like, oh, man, this is my favorite movie, man. Incredible directing.
2.5 stars.
2.5 stars. I was like, okay, what does that mean? You know, so I've come up with my own rating system, 17 stars, Steven. But
that way, anything less than half.
Here's my scale, really. The worst movie I've ever seen, that, I mean, it just affected me in a way that it killed part of my spirit, was Highlander 2. I've talked about it before. Highlander 2, The Quickening.
So that's 0 out of 17?
Right. So any movie that is not as bad as Highlander 2 automatically gets a 9. Okay?
Oh.
So any movie that's watchable is 9 out of 17 stars.
And if you give it a Highlander rating?
So, but I mean, like, how can a movie can be bad, but it's not as bad as that. So, hey, it's still watchable. Still pass. You know what I'm saying?
I can go along with that.
Like, I would say another movie that's on the scale of that, which is very disappointing, Bill, but The Last Airbender. That goes down the Highlander 2 meter, don't you say?
Well, that's one of those films that, like, Highlander 2 was just a mess because it was a mess. Like, they wanted to do... They screwed it up, whereas...
And also,
The Last Airbender, there's no soul. It's like, it's a zombie film.
It hurt a lot, Highlander 2, because I loved Highlander so many times. You know, saw it in the theater, watch it over and over again on cable, love the camera work and all that. And then, you know, you hear, like, you know, in Starlog or whatever, like, okay, Sean Connery's going to be in this? Okay, I don't... How's he going to... Oh, it must be flashbacks or something.
Flashbacks.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's not Jason. He's on the planet Zeiss, Jason. I guess it is a flashback when he's in there, you know. But he's an alien and stuff. So,
A Spanish alien who's Egyptian.
Don't get me wrong. I've seen some bad movies, guys. But Highlander 2 was us. Like, I sat there. I don't even remember, really. But I was probably the last one in the theater. And the guy came out sweeping up. Hey, we're closing, sir. And just sitting there. Now you're going to have to leave. All right, I'll get out of here.
I can't.
Walked home in the dark.
The Beast of Yucca Flats was better than Highlander 2.
It was, because they found a way to make it entertaining. It's what was the movie we watched last week?
Oh, no.
Why can't I remember the name of this?
I don't want to say its name.
We watched a Robert Zadar movie last week.
See? Future War.
Future War. Awesome. Basically, it's like they wanted to do Terminator, but they also put dinosaurs in it.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Yes. No.
It's not awesome. It was the worst thing I ever saw. Emma sat there next to me. She's like, what is going on? And I'm like, I don't know.
Like, don't ask me. I don't know.
I wish I could tell you, Emma. Let's just make up our own plot, you know?
Yeah, tell me.
Here, Emma, you write a story. It'd probably be better than this.
It was cute. She came up to me and she goes, hey, are you having movie night with the guys again tonight? Because, you know, she really wanted to sit and watch some Mystery Science Theater. I was like, nah, doing a show, but maybe later. We'll find a time to do it, right, Bill?
We'll spring it on people.
Now, Bill, we have another voicemail, this one from Rick. Let's check out what Rick's been doing.
Hey, guys. It's Rick. Whoop, whoop. I don't know why I do that. It's like celebrating that I'm here. Yeah, it's pretty sad. as you can tell, I've been sick for a while. Don't worry, it's not contagious. Unless you're in the same room as me, and then you're screwed. We're about to watch the next 3 days of the Russell Crowe, and I've got to say, I'm not really that excited, but, you know what, whatever, let's give it a watch, and I'll let you know how I think. Yeah. So, we got through the
good
first 15 minutes, whatever, and Russell Crowe is
in
jail, blah, 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 I don't really know what's going on, but, the son, he's one cold-hearted bitch. The mum's trying to get a bit of affection from the son, and she doesn't get to see him that often, and the kid's just ignoring it completely. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I hate this kid. That's your mama. She loves you. You won't even give her a smile or one word. What's wrong with you? Oh, I wonder what's going to happen in the next 3 days.
Peter.
Well, well. So anyway, Russell Crowe, he just got beat up, and I was thinking, if Russell Crowe from Gladiator saw the Russell Crowe from the next 3 days, he would be very upset, all right? Because it was only two dudes without any weapons, and he got effed up. Oh, he had a knife, but Russell Crowe from Gladiator would have chopped both their heads off. And then just juggled them for the crowd's entertainment. And he did nothing. So I'm a bit disappointed.
Sorry to hear that.
Is there anything else?
No. Oh.
Sounds like two of them
so
have that cold.
So we get to the part, right, where the next
that was a good
three
edit there, Rick.
It was.
And I'm starting to think this movie is kind of boring. You know, Russell Crowe, he just wants to get his wife out of prison, and he doesn't know if he killed her or not. And she probably did kill her. So just get
wait, he killed his wife and he's getting her out of prison? Way.
Or she killed somebody.
No, she killed somebody.
But, oh. Yeah, good on him for sticking in there so long. Stupid, stupid fella.
So should
but
I watch
anyway,
this, Rick?
I'm not even wait until the end of this movie to finish this voicemail. Because I'll probably be passed out. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, it's not that funny, but it's true. No, it's Friday night, and I'm having some drinks with my brother watching the movie, so...
No!
Not like I'm beating women, even though that would be
Rick,
fun.
Rick, you shouldn't drink when you're
just
sick.
Just kidding.
Does it kill
I
the germs?
I hate it when people
yes,
beat women.
The alcohol
if anything, that's more of a turn-off than anything. All right, this is Rick from Australia. Oh, fuck. I've been weirdo lately. I apologize.
Oh, Rick, get some help, okay? I mean, you're a physician, you know, you're sick. Yeah. All right, Rick. Well, I hope you feel better. Then hope those beers kill the illness, right, guys?
Alcohol kills the germs.
It's an anesthetic.
One move and you're both dead men.
Huh? All right, guys. Let's go ahead and get into some entertainment. What do you say? Let's do it. Ah, yes. We know that Transformers 3, okay, I didn't realize till like now, like an hour before the show, that it was Dark of the Moon.
Yes.
I thought it was Dark Side of the Moon. Because doesn't that roll off the tongue better than Dark of the Moon?
Largo Planetarium.
You're used to the Pink Floyd album. Dark
so it's
Side
it's
of
Transformers
the
3 Dark of the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It just doesn't work well. It should be Transformers 3 Black Moon Rising. Hey.
Tommy Lee Jones in it?
It's not acceptable behavior.
Yeah, he would have been great in that, man.
Goes up to
shut up,
Optimus Prime
now.
And tells him that.
That would have been great. And they're like, Shia LaBeouf is in like a jet car or something. That'd be great, wouldn't it? And what's with all this bad interviews that Shia has been giving? Like
he's an asshole.
He's like, first of all, I guess a couple of weeks ago he said why Megan Fox was really fired off there because she couldn't handle it being a sex symbol or whatever. And the way that,
oh, yeah.
That Michael Bay talks to her, you know, he kind of yells at people and says, crude things, and stick your ass in the air, honey, or whatever. So now he's saying that he actually slept with her. Like, well, I mean, he didn't outright say that, but he said he was fooling around with her, I guess.
Wait, Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He said he kind of fooled around or whatever. You know, it's just because, you know, our characters are supposed to be into each other, so we did that or whatever. So I don't know. And also, I think Harrison Ford recently called him a dumbass or something. I forgot what he called him, but it was something funny, a dumb
Shia
shit.
Shia LaBeouf's always been kind of a loudmouth little prick because even whenever he was doing that Project Greenlight, that Battle of Shaker Heights thing and the interviews he would do, he was very – like he didn't measure his words well.
He's just kind of a smart ass who...
Yeah.
Well, there was something else saying that Megan Fox had made some derogatory...
She called Michael Bay Hitler.
She compared him to Hitler.
And that's what he got her fired.
Well, yeah. Spielberg, like... Now, this is all hearsay.
It's all speculation.
Yeah, it's all just stupid news stories that fill our week.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Spielberg,
they
like, fire
Film reports something that's complete hearsay, but it's news.
One move and you're both dead men.
So it's like, yeah, you don't know what is a true story and isn't, you know, whether she said that or...
But all I know is Shia LaBeouf has come off like a little dickhead, is what I'm saying, you know?
And he actually comes off like that in the films, too, so...
Now, Bill, are you going to see Transformers 3?
Yeah.
Because if you're going to see it, I think I'm going to try to see it. You want to try to sit through this, Steven? Maybe. You know,
I mean, I've sat through the other two, so...
Steven, he's just going to fall asleep. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
It's supposed to be badass 3D, Steven.
Oh, 3D. Jesus Christ. I forgot that.
Come on.
What's the problem with 3D, Steven? Is it too dark?
No, I just...
Dark of the moon?
Duh.
Hey, fine.
I don't know. I just get tired of it. It seems like gimmicky now, the 3D.
If it's good...
Like you're a gimmick, bitch. No,
if 3D is filmed in 3D, this film was filmed in 3D, am I right? It was using special cameras. James Cameron was involved or whatever with the cameras and stuff. It's going to be badass. It's going to look good.
Okay.
You know, it won't be like that. We film the movie. Oh, hey, let's do a 3D process on this. Maybe it'll look like shit. Maybe it won't, but we'll get people to go see it. You know, that it's not going to be that.
Well,
but it is also a Transformers movie. I'll tell you this much, Bill, about Transformers, because I watched the first movie. I own the first movie on HD DVD, and they've got the robot shit down, right? That's pretty eye-catching. But Transformers 2 has been on HBO several times.
So awful.
I can't sit through it. I can't.
I tried. It's so freaking awful.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I can't even put into words how bad it is.
Did you see the second one in the theater? Did you go to see it?
Hell no. God, no. No. But it's Transformers 2 is one of those movies that just kind of meanders from scene to scene, almost like a Coleman Francis movie.
it's like Beast of Yucca Flats.
Yeah, it's so bad. But I actually want to see Transformers 3 only because everyone is saying that the last 40 minutes is absolutely insane. Like, there's absolutely no reason for it, but it's 40 minutes of just this massive battle.
Are you going to stop me?
Yeah, I can imagine, like, just from the trailer and that building and stuff, I'm like, overload, and my brain starts coming out of my ears, you know? It's like, so we got to see
that. I mean,
that. The
effects look great and everything.
Yeah, they've got that stuff down. It's just the kind of moronic Michael Bay directing and stuff. And I don't, if I just hear that Transformers music, it makes me kind of queasy.
Wait, which music?
The main Transformers kind of theme, you know, boom, 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 boom. You know, the kind of Optimus music?
The score for the films.
The score for the film, yeah.
I was going to say, wait, the Vince DiCola score?
No. That stuff is genius.
Okay, I was going to say, don't even go there.
I'm not going to shit on Vince DiCola.
Vince DiCola does that for himself.
Now, guys, something exciting came out this week on the internet, Bill. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. The trailer came out. Now, if you don't know this, Steven, it's directed by the guy who directed The Incredibles, that claymation movie about superheroes, right?
And Iron Giant.
Claymation.
Yeah, he did the Iron Giant.
Iron Giant.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, a guy who can direct cartoons can do live action people? How does he do this, Bill?
I had no idea. I thought they just worked with, like, animation cells.
Yeah, how does he do this? Okay, Tom, I made a cartoon. I want you to watch it and just do what your animated figure does. Just reenact that, you know.
And apparently he's an actor also. Done from he did the voice of Edna E. Mode in The Incredibles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there you go.
So I have we haven't done this in a long time. Remember how I used to play trailers on every episode? You know, hey guys, let's listen to the trailer. And, you know, it's kind of like, why am I doing this? We're killing
Because no one can see it. That's awful visual.
I think it's when we were in Talk Radio X and we didn't have enough time on the show. It's just like, I got to speed the show up. But now we have plenty of time. Let's check out the trailer to Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. What do you guys say?
Do it.
Pretty badass. Yeah, and it's also got Josh Holloway in it.
Yeah.
And it's got, who else is in it? It's got...
That dude from Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, it's got Hawkeye. It's got the Hurt Locker dude in there. And one of my favorite actors that I can't remember his name, Bill, is in it.
That guy. I love him.
Yeah, the guy who is in Michael Clayton and he got a shot in his foot. Who's that guy?
Oh, shit. What the hell is his name?
Let's try to remember while we listen to the trailer, Bill.
An hour ago, a bomb blew up
him.
The Kremlin. The president has initiated Ghost Protocol. The entire IMF has been disavowed. Now I've been ordered to take you to Washington, where they will hang the Kremlin bombing on you and your team, unless you were to escape after assaulting Brandt and me. But if any one of your team is caught, they will be branded terrorists out to incite global nuclear war.
Shall we play a game?
What happens now? Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Wait, that's not the Mission Impossible theme.
Who are you really, Brett?
We all have our secrets. Don't we, Ethan?
It's rough and tumble. And it's wild and woolly, and it's blast.
Nice. What do you guys think? Wild and woolly, huh?
Sounds wild and woolly.
Rough and tumble. As soon
it's
as
a blast.
As soon as the trailer was over, it's like, that looks rough and tumble. But it
wild
looks,
and woolly.
It looks pretty badass. But in the trailer, it has like an Eminem song, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, I won't back down. No.
Yeah, this isn't going to be in the movie, right?
So, I hate that type of music. I really do.
Yeah, I just like it. Just like, ugh, it's like put this on the Happy Feet trailer instead. Penguin dancing to Eminem or something. But it looks pretty cool, you know. And I really liked the J.J. Abrams one. I thought that was a lot of fun. So we'll check it out, right? And this one's produced by J.J., I believe.
Yeah, and I trust Brad Bird. The guy's uber talented.
Yeah, his movies, the two I've seen that he's done, I love. So,
well, I mean, he did Iron Giant, Incredibles, Ratatouille.
Oh, he did Ratatouille too?
Yeah, Ratatouille.
I've seen some people kind of like, since Cars 2 came out, people are going down. You know, it's like a thing to do now. Like, okay, since Cars 2, you know, a lot of people didn't like it. It's like the lowest rated Pixar movie that's come out, like on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff. So everyone's going down their list of Pixar movies. And I've seen some people rate Ratatouille really low. I love Ratatouille.
I think Ratatouille is easily one of their best films.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Easily. Maybe some people are like, it's Red who cooks. You know, give it a chance.
So much more than that.
Yeah, come on. Oh my God!
The Cars movies really are just—they're John Lasseter's little playthings. They're not actual quality films.
When I've kind of watched the first Cars, and you know, my daughter liked it. You know, it's for kids
it's
or whatever,
watchable.
And it's got cars and kids. I'm not a nitpicky person. Bill, you know I'm not a nitpicky with movies.
No, you're not at all.
I'm very forgiving with movies. But in Cars, no humans exist in this world. There's no humans in this world. Who builds their houses that they live in?
The cars.
Do the cars shit? Do they eat? Do they procreate?
Who changes their oil?
Yeah. Where do they get the gas from? Where do they drill? How? They don't even have hands. They have tires.
Doc changes your
oil. None of it makes sense. Okay?
Well, there's a car for every purpose. But who does the car that
are
does that
Are they born that way?
Thing.
Are they born that way, Bill?
Yes, they are. They're born. An egg hatches.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah, how are they born?
I don't know.
Do cars have relations?
I mean, we know Finding Nemo, they're fish. Incredibles, they're people. Toy Story, they're toys that come to life. That's kind of a magical thing. I can get that. We know humans made the toys, right? Mm-hmm. The spirit of the child's imagination makes them come to life. You know, it's suspension of disbelief. Cars I have trouble with. They live in a world of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's an abomination, Steven. It must be stopped.
It's sacrilege, really.
Okay.
Whenever you make a movie and you're like, let's get Larry the Cable Guy, you've already made a misstep.
Yeah, well, I think one of its biggest offenses is that it's one of Paul Newman's last roles. And I think that's like, that's shitting on his memory, basically.
Oh, The Smallville guy loves that. I guess we got to bring that up too, Bill. The Smallville guy. You said, I think you like watched it or something, but you go, hey, have you seen that Smallville video of the guy watching the finale? I was like, no. And nothing could prepare me for what I was about to see, Bill. Because it's a guy watching the Smallville finale, and he is having this orgasmic epiphany in his life watching this thing, and it's the most incredible thing I've ever heard. He is freaking out, Steven.
I've listened to it. I didn't see it. I didn't see the video of it.
You didn't
see
it?
He has to be medicated in some form.
I mean,
I didn't know it was a video. I thought he was recording the TV and him watching.
He is. He's reacting to it as he's watching the finale.
But you don't ever see him, right?
No, you never see him.
Okay, yeah.
You just hear him like going, "Yes!" Oh, and he's like
Okay, I thought you were saying that there's actually a video
It sounds like somebody's snuck up behind him and has a rag over his mouth.
Yeah, so like picture it's a scene where he thinks he's about to get Superman, you know, his dad, John Schneider, he's standing there with the uniform and the guy's watching it doing this. I was waiting, the video would have been so much better if he went, "What the hell is this shit? He's never putting the outfit on.
Who are you? Why are you in my house?"
Ah. And then he's like, "Dope, dope, dope."
You know what? I have to say it.
Don't
you talking about nitpicks? That's one of my major nitpicks. If you say dope, you're an asshole. You're not a dope. You're an asshole. I just hate that entire, like, resurrected hipster language. Like, oh, man, that's so dope. Like, no, it's not dope. It's cool. It's very interesting.
What is it, fly?
No.
This is the weirdest sound he makes, and I'm kind of wondering what he's doing at this point.
We all know what he's doing there.
He had to change pants afterwards. We'll just say that.
America!
Erica? Who's Erica?
That's the best part when, you know, you show from far away, it shows the Clark flying or whatever, and he's like, "America the beautiful!" It's like, what?
I thought he was saying Erica.
No, America!
Wait, play that again.
America!
All right. That is really, really bizarre.
He's really patriotic, little fella.
I want to see what this guy looks
What does it
like?
Have to do with America?
I don't know. It's just Superman, and I wanted him to go, "Apple pie!"
Waving flags!
All right, guys. Let's get into what's on our TiVos. Wee-hee! Now, guys, it's been a month since Top Chef Masters. Do you guys even remember who won? I don't. So let's go ahead and see who won, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Top Chef.
The winner of Top Chef Masters.
I was just going to guess.
Floyd.
All right, Floyd won.
Floyd the barber?
Yep, Floyd the barber. That was the one guy who where was he from?
He was Indian, right?
He was Indian. But he was an American Indian. No, he wasn't a Native American Indian.
He was a Hindu American.
He'd grown up in America. He didn't sound Indian at all or anything. So,
I'm so confused.
Good for him. I think I enjoyed the finale, but I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
All I remember is there was a lot of adjectives from what's his name? Who loves his meat in his soft mouth?
James Osland. Yeah.
It's him.
I'm ready for Bravo to give him his own show.
You know what? Ustream, go F yourself. I'm reading in the chat room that like every 5 minutes they're interrupting the show with an ad, yet we get nothing from it.
Weird. That sucks.
Assholes.
So, you know what they need? You know how they have Rocco's dinner party, which we'll talk about later on in the show? They should have had
You're teasing it.
James Osland's dinner party. I would totally listen to that.
Oh, I would watch that a million times over.
The new one last night, The Extreme Chef.
I haven't seen that.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
It came on right after.
Is it Extreme?
Chef. Yeah, they have to say they're doing different things, and one of them is they got to cook on an engine block. They got to
in Radiator Springs.
I'd check that out.
They're out in the middle of the desert, and there's all of a sudden a sandstorm blows up.
What channel is that on?
It's on the same one as Top Chef. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Bravo. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll check it out.
Only on Bravo.
You know, guys, every once in a while I have a Regis clip because he says something really creepy. He really said something creepy this week as, you know, they read the paper on the show. They actually sit and read the newspaper and talk about it on the show. Well, he says something really weird here when they're talking about this story.
This guy went into a liquor store over in Brooklyn and didn't do too well. Look at the odds against him walking out of there with a bottle of liquor or some money. Enough cops there to fight an army. Didn't have a chance.
It was a hostage standoff. He took people hostage for 3 hours.
That's right, yeah. And Dog Day Afternoon is the underneath the headline there, which is a great Al Pacino movie.
If you're going to be held hostage, a liquor store isn't a bad option. You know what I mean? You're like, my nerves are shot.
You'd be good to be held hostage. I'd like to hold you hostage for a while.
Okay, that's so creepy.
That old man. Creepy.
Well, at least she said it.
Yeah, very
quite frankly,
creepy.
She's a little creepy looking now.
That's a strange TV duo there.
Yeah. I wonder whose genius idea it was to do that. Like, let's put Kelly Ripa and Regis Philbin together. That's genius.
It's gold. TV gold. Now,
well,
guys,
Kathy Lee Griffin wasn't much better.
Cake Boss. Steven, I know you've been keeping up with the Cake Boss, huh?
Keeping up.
Steven, are you awake?
I'm awake.
Just the way you replied. Keeping up.
They made a bumblebee cake. Did you see that?
No,
a bumblebee cake from the Transformers. So,
oh, my God. It's amazing.
But while he's out making his Transformers cake, his sister Grace is running the shop. You know, Carlo's Bakery. And she's just yelling at everybody, so... Good Lord. So Buddy has to set her straight. Let's check this out. This is some riveting shit.
God, I hate that woman.
Hey, guys.
Buddy. Buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Two people called out. I haven't stopped all day. Mary, she went to the dentist. Did she tell you that she was going to the dentist?
Can you give me a second to even breathe?
I'll give you 2 seconds because you don't really seem to care about what I'm saying.
Oh, listen, what do you think? And I gotta come. Where are you going? Get back here. You know what? We need to talk. Let's hold my
own.
Yes,
we do.
Let's go. You have the right intentions. You have the wrong way going about it.
What am I doing wrong? I'm doing other people's job and I'm sick and tired of doing it.
Grace, just lay off. Worry about only what Grace has to worry about. Don't yell at the decorators. Don't yell at this one. Don't yell at that one. It's not your job.
You know what? That's fine. I'm going to do just my job. But if that happens, you better tell other people to do theirs. Or you're going to
I know how to do my job.
Stuck.
Worry about your job. Just worry about Grace.
Done,
Grace got to worry about Grace. Grace got to worry about Grace.
I'm only entertained on the show when people are fighting.
Okay. You know, I don't know how that family puts up with that. I would have buried her alive 20 years ago. Just that voice alone and then that attitude. That's got to be created for the show. No one can be that arrogant and stupid at the same time.
And, you know, Mary, she's annoying, but at the same time, she doesn't really give a shit about anything.
No.
So that's a little more acceptable.
She's annoying, but charming in that she's just so clueless about everything.
Right. But
whereas Grace thinks she's the hot shit.
Just wait till they get to Lackawanna, Bill. I can't wait to see what happens then. I'm kidding, of course. I couldn't care less. Now, guys,
I can't believe that those contractors screwed up and they have to wait.
Oh, I didn't see the last episode. What happened?
Oh my gosh! They didn't wire it properly, so now they've got to wait for all the tech guys to come in and properly wire it before the contractors can come in and finish. Can you believe it?
Oh my God! I gotta see this episode.
Did you see the one
outrageous.
Where
outrageous?
I think it's the same episode where he actually takes the guys to the bakery at Lackawanna and shows them around, and they're all like, this is so big. This is so big.
No,
they're freaking out.
I've seen that episode.
Okay, maybe that was the Bumblebee episode.
He's like, why do they keep talking about how big it is? Is the place too big? But he's all worried now.
I'd be worried too, but
so is this
I think he's probably going to make a lot of money online selling cakes and shit. Enough people love that stupid show.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Are we going to one day go in a grocery store and there's going to be a Carlos Bakery end cap like Dolly Madison or something?
It's going to be Buddy holding a cake with one hand going, you's going to love it.
Yeah, it's like a cardboard cutout with his arms. You know, like, hey, and a Buddy cake.
And they're Grace in the background. Buddy!
You push the button and he talks.
All right, Bill, Food Revolution, the finale aired last Friday.
Food Unrevolution.
Yes, Jamie Oliver. You know, I guess the one good thing that came out of it is they banned chocolate milk in schools in L.A.
Yeah, that's actually a really good thing. Not, you know, and I'm not being facetious at all. You know, when I was a kid, you had a choice, you know, white milk, chocolate milk, or orange juice. And right. Now they just would have all flavored milk, no choice.
Yeah, it's like the argument that people who sell the school the milk say is kids wouldn't drink milk. This helps them drink it. They wouldn't drink it if they didn't have chocolate or strawberry milk. This, you know, it's like, yes, they would. If there's no other options, they would drink it.
Yeah, I did a thing at my niece's school one time, and I honestly thought I got white milk. And it was vanilla milk.
Oh.
One of the grossest things I've ever put to my lips.
Wow.
It's just, atrocious. So sugary. That stuff is so awful.
Well, there's this thing that happened where Jamie decides to get a bunch of L.A. chefs together and have like a little dinner for them. Or I guess it's a breakfast and kind of talk to them and stuff. And I even recognize at least one of the ladies from Top Chef Masters, like last season or something. But they're they're like local known chefs. So he's like, "Oh, this would be an honor to have them here." But he's pulling a little switcheroo on them because he's trying to get some people to help him out, and he's really serving them school lunches to show them how gross it is. So wait till you see how these chefs react to this horrible food. It's like hamburgers and tater tots and Mexican scramble.
Square pizza.
What is a Mexican scramble?
I'm not sure. It's like rice and salsa with hamburger meat or something.
Meat ground up in it.
Yeah, and another one is chicken nuggets with ketchup and
I'd eat that.
And green beans.
Ooh, but why green beans? Why are you going to ruin it with green beans?
I don't know. Well, let's check this out.
So I've got seven of LA's best chefs coming to see us today. I need them to help me do something epic. So what I need to do is grab their attention. So I've got a plan. I'm going to cook them a meal, have a little chat with them, get them on side, and hopefully I'll get their support. Hey, guys.
How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for coming today, guys. I know you're really busy. So can I just serve up my food? I know you guys are hungry. And they think that I'm going to prepare them a nice little breakfast. And actually what I've done is give them some perspective. I just want to say thanks ever so much for coming. Part of my gratitude is to cook you a meal. One, two, three, guys.
Nice.
Oh, sweet.
Favorite.
Basically, I'm giving them a fairly everyday, regular American school lunch, as you would see them on many, many different school menus.
It's hard to look at, let alone smell.
I mean, some of them didn't even want to be near it. This is a typical school lunch meal.
I grew up in LAUSD, and this looks better than anything I was ever served.
This looks better than the LAUSD food.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I want you to be a student just for 10 minutes.
It smells crazy.
Very synthetic.
Candy, synthetic. The milk doesn't even taste like milk. It's just like sugar, artificial strawberry right at the front.
Brother, go on. Tuck into that beautiful burger.
They keep calling each other brother.
I mean, they've given you a whole wheat bun, so you're lucky.
It looks kind of super chef rough. Cult. Honestly, I wouldn't feed this to my dog.
I'll take a bite.
You want to take a bite?
I mean, for the sake of science?
Brother, get into it.
Brother.
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 Yeah, that's rough.
Try it, brother.
Whoa, this would be nice.
Does it
take a
like
bite,
meat?
Brother.
It's so flat in flavor. You taste the wheat in the bun more than you even taste the meat.
Ben, do you want to have a little go there, brother?
I don't know. I can't eat this.
I'm not your brother.
The whole point of giving these chefs these different school lunches, I wanted them to get angry. I wanted them to feel what I feel and see what I see and try and taste what I have tasted, and they wouldn't.
Ew.
I think Suzanne was on the verge of throwing up.
Being a parent, I can't imagine even putting this in front of my kid, like, ever.
Do your kids go to LAUSD school?
My daughter, I have one daughter, no, not yet. But I'd like you to get all this stuff in line before she starts.
So that's school food, guys.
This is what we're feeding the future. It's pretty depressing.
It's not looking bright, is it?
No.
So, I mean, I understand the whole school lunch thing because there are kids that they, you know, when I was a kid, I had a lunch card most of the time. You know,
yeah,
my
same
mom
here.
Was raising us, single parent, and we couldn't afford, I mean, you know, three kids. We weren't bringing our lunch every day, you know?
No.
So people are at the mercy of what the school serves. You know, like now, like I always send lunch with my daughter and I can just give her whatever I decide to. So I can understand how it's annoying because they do serve a lot of shit, just junk ass food, you know. And, you know, when I remember high school, I was thinking about what I ate for lunch every day of high school. I mean, like every day. I'd eat the chocolate gem donuts. Star Crunch sometimes.
Is Entenmann's chocolate gem donuts?
I think it's like the Dolly Madison kind.
Doesn't matter. They're delicious.
I would either get like a Star Crunch, Little Debbie Star Crunch.
Oh God, I love those.
I get the Nutter Butter, the little chocolate peanut butter thing.
Oh, with the wafer covered in chocolate.
I would get that, and I'd get a Coke. That was my lunch.
Wait, what else? What was the last one? I was too busy drooling.
And a Coke.
Oh, okay, and a Coke.
And
well,
every once in a while, I go through the line and get rolls, like get like 10 of those real buttery rolls, you know, split them up with or whatever.
And then put the Nutter Butter and
Butter Roll
Crunch
sandwich
in the roll.
No, so I eat pretty horrible every day. No wonder I was so tired and sleepy all the time.
Damn, I wish I had that stuff. My mom was like she still is a food Nazi, but... I never got snacks
like
that stuff.
Michael Bay would fire you right now, Bill, for that. But hey, I wish it was. There was a time, you know, when my dad was very strict with food, and then I guess he just stopped giving a shit or something. I don't know. Once you're in high school, it's just like they know by now. It's like, no, we don't, man. I'm gonna just get a Coke whenever I can.
Yeah, from like middle school to the end of high school, I lived walking distance, so I walked home for lunch every day.
Nice.
So, I mean,
she could at least eat at home.
Yeah.
That's good.
Sit and watch.
The only thing I hated, it's school lunches for me were normally okay because the creepy old ladies with hairy moles made them. But
Harry Knowles?
Harry Knowles. Yes. Harry Knowles was back there in his wheelchair with the creepy old ladies making lunches.
Gosh. I don't think I've ever
eat half of them.
Ever went into a cafeteria in high school.
But Fridays was pizza day.
Right.
And for some reason, they just couldn't get their heads around that pizza's supposed to be crisp.
Right, right.
They would cook them in those sheet pans, and it was just like this soft, shitty dough
with like a layer of like glossy cheese on it.
Yes,
it was almost like it's like plastic on. You know, my grandma, she did it. Ran a daycare out of her house, and she even got government. What would you call it? Government subsidies? I don't know.
Yeah,
She would get like government cheese, government pizza, like stuff that goes to schools, and she would get that and. You know, hey, you guys want some of this pizza? It's like, this stuff is nasty, Grandma.
I'd rather have a Totino's pizza roll.
So I don't know. Whoever has the contract with these cities and stuff, they, I don't know if they have a great price or whatever, but no one gives a shit of the quality of the food that's running the cities and the food and stuff.
Government cheese isn't even cheese. It's cheese process.
Yeah, it's all a bunch of crap.
It's oil.
One move and you're both dead men.
All right.
So food revolution's over. And I actually stand behind what he's about. It's food education. And
absolutely.
I've been food dumb my entire life.
He just goes about it a really piss poor way on that show, especially this season.
I mean, I understand why he went to L.A. It's a big market and everything like that. But it's something about him that, what would you say? What is
haughty?
Haughty?
Yeah, he's like he's just very obnoxious and kind of nose in the air about it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess he's getting results in a roundabout way, and he's good with kids and stuff, but...
There was a great blog...
Nobody likes to be preached to.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to be preached to.
Right.
I don't go to church for that reason. I don't want to be preached to. So there was a great blog post on one of the food blogs I go to about that, Patras. Right. And they still have that menu that Jamie Oliver made for the burgers.
Okay.
But they talk about how the burgers themselves are just so loaded with so many condiments and stuff that doesn't make any sense. Like, one even has beans on it, and it takes away the flavor of the meat. So they said the menu, the Revolution burgers are terrible, but if you take the patty, you know, the Angus patty, and put it on a normal burger from Patras, it's much better.
Yeah, I don't want, like, this real gussied up burger with all this shit on
no.
it to, like, look how flavorful this is. It's like,
I saw one on Man vs. Food that I would probably eat.
Well, you know, it depends on what you're gussying it up with, but don't
just put, give me a cheeseburger.
Don't put kidney beans on my hamburger.
Fried egg, bacon, cheese.
Yeah, hell yeah, well, I'll take that.
You know what? That's different. That's not gussied up.
I'm talking about bean sprouts and shit.
You know? I don't want that shit. I want one piece of lettuce at the most. You know, give me some meat, some pork, maybe some cheese.
Right.
Put a whole pig on there along with the cow.
A sausage patty on top
I think
of the hamburger
we're
patty.
We're all in agreement here.
Hey, fine.
So, Jamie, sorry, your show's over. Now, okay, just you guys just bear with me now if you guys need to do stuff.
sorry.
I'm going to talk about The Bachelorette. I'm sorry. Okay. I've been watching this whole time. Remember
you
that?
My dad.
remember that guy Bentley?
Bentley.
He was just there because it was fun to be on TV. He didn't really like this bitch, you know. She's got a hot ass, yeah. And he decided to leave. But he was like, "Hey, you know, let's just keep a ... in our relationship. Maybe call me sometime. I got to go home to my daughter." And he's like, "I don't really."
What's a ...
You know, an ellipsis.
To be continued?
Yeah, right. So she's all hung up on him. So meanwhile, he's left the show, so she's still going on dream dates with these guys. And she's like, all I can think about is Bentley. What would have happened? Why did he leave? And I don't know why the people...
What the hell is wrong with her? Is she retarded?
She's really into the guy, and he left her hanging. And the show, whoever produces should have said, here's a video of the shit he said about you, and then move on. But instead, they didn't say anything. So they're finally, she's like going on dates, and these guys are competing for... I mean, last week they went to Thailand and did Muay Thai boxing in a ring, like in front of her.
Wait a second. They took guys that have never done Muay Thai boxing in their life.
They went to a training session with all these hardcore dudes who are like kicking each other in the stomach for... Like,
In Thailand.
So
Jesus Christ.
So they're like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we get these guys and they fight it out for her attention or whatever? So there's some guys...
In the ring?
So there's some guys who are just goofing around, and there's other guys who are like, I'm going to bust some ass right here. I'm going to show her who's boss. So there's this one really nice guy named Ames. He's always smiling. He's a nice guy or whatever. The dude starts wailing on him, punching him repeatedly in the head. Just like, douche, douche, douche. I think he gives him like 3 good punches in the head, and he starts stumbling around. He's like, can barely focus, and he's just kind of like, dude, are you okay? He's like...
So he gave him a concussion?
He gave him a concussion. He goes away in the hospital in an ambulance.
Holy shit.
And I'm like, why are they doing this? And so the funniest part is he comes back, he's got this dumb grin on his face. They're like, dude, are you okay? He goes, yeah, man, I'm fine. He's just kind of like,
I just can't fall asleep.
It's like,
I'm doped up pretty good.
And so meanwhile, they're doing all this for this girl who has no interest in any of them. She's just thinking about this guy who left the show.
Less about her.
So finally, on the show, the producer's like, we got to get this guy back here to tell her he doesn't want to have anything to do with her.
Because she's an idiot.
Right.
I mean,
she's falling for him.
They can make it easy and just show a video.
Yeah, but no, they fly him to Hong Kong where they are.
No, wow, nice.
And the best part is when she's like, okay, well, I'm going to tell all the guys my feelings. Because basically he's like, well, you know, I think we need to just put a period at the end of that sentence now, and you need to go on with your life.
Instead of the dot, dot, dot.
You're right. He's now ended the sentence. So she's like, oh, what a jerk or whatever. So she goes back to the guys and says, okay, I was all into this guy, but now that's ended, and now I'm ready to be with you guys, and let's see about who's going to be my husband or whatever. Whatever they do on the show.
And okay, so that's really stupid.
And what's funny...
Every dude should have just walked
out.
So
she's basically telling them that, hey, I wasn't here for you before, but now I am.
Right, and there is like a dead silence after she says that, and their dude's like, so wait, let me get this straight. And they're all pissed off. Some guys are like, I don't care, I'll stick around or whatever, free Hong Kong vacation, right? And one guy who I respect a lot now, he's like, no, I'm out of here. And he just leaves.
Nice.
He takes off. And she's like, I'm sorry. And she's like crying and stuff. And I'm like, he did the right thing. Just get the hell out of there. So let's check this out.
I cannot believe that I wasted so much time on Bentley, both with him and thinking about him when he left. He disrespected me, like, to the core. And I don't understand what I ever did or what anyone could ever do to make somebody treat them that way. But you know what? Bentley, if you're watching this, I'm done with you.
All along, no, I've always felt like I didn't get the proper closure with him, that I needed to really move forward in some of these relationships. So Bentley actually came to Hong Kong, and I got the closure that I needed. Going through that made me realize what I'm looking for in a man and how you guys have those qualities more than anyone that has been here in the past.
Dead silence.
We had a date and we talked about you being completely let go of your past relationships, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what you told me. Mm-hmm. And that's a contradictory statement at this point. You know, it's a weird situation to be in, you know, so suddenly.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree, and that's why I'm telling you this.
Why didn't you do this earlier?
Do what?
Just finding that closure earlier. We've been to like three different spots. You
yeah.
know?
So it was kind of a... Yeah, no, absolutely. It was kind of a gradual thing, like... At first, I was, you know, I had a hard time, but then I went through a time where I thought, okay, he's gone, no big deal. And then I started developing these really strong feelings, and I reached a point with some of you guys where I felt like there was a roadblock. Like, I wasn't allowing myself to fall 100%.
Roadblock? What's bottom massage?
And I needed to release that in order to move forward. And I can't tell you how good I felt after I walked out of that room. It was the best I felt in a really long time.
It's weird to me. I mean, I'm curious as to, it must have gone poorly, because if you had such a strong connection with him in such a short amount of time,
how skeptical
and you've been thinking about
him
this whole time, you know, to see him again must have been a good thing, you would think, and you said that you had fallen for him.
Yeah, I was falling for him.
Fell and hit her head.
Pet peeve is wasting my time, you know, and I'm in Hong Kong, it's great, but she's wasting my time. I'm pissed right now.
Waste a man's
time. I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. It kind of makes me feel like it belittles the time that I've been here when there's some guy that, you know, you've already fallen for. And I've been on five of these group dates, and we haven't really seemed to be all that in sync sometimes. And I don't know if you're not sure about me or you just could care less. I mean...
You really think I could care less?
Yeah. Pretty much.
At this point, after that... Yeah, that didn't sit well with me at all. I'm not gonna lie.
You're here for a reason, and I see so many things in you.
Well, that's fine. I just
really do I have cancer?
Know, no, not for me.
I just don't see what the hell you saw in that guy.
They keep making her cry and stuff, but they're being completely honest with her.
Yeah,
like,
she's an idiot.
You jerked us around, like. I don't know, but I think
that one guy, I can't even believe I'm getting into this, but I think that one guy had it right whenever they were doing the roast where he's like your third runner up. She's got some serious, like self-esteem issues.
Yeah, totally.
And she's a wasteland of emotion. And if I was any of those guys on there that didn't want a career in something in Hollywood, I would have been out of there.
So basically, if you just think of it like this, she was totally into a guy like a minute ago, and he finally told her, no, I don't want to be with you. She had those feelings about him, those butterflies or whatever.
30 minutes ago.
Now she's saying, okay, that's over. Okay, let me focus on you now. Maybe we have something going on. It's like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Like, how the hell is this going to work? I can see why the dude's like, I'm out of here, man. I'm flying home. So it's pretty funny. And I'm just amused by the show because it's so ridiculous.
Well, I know my dad loves it. He loves that shit.
Was he like, that goddamn Bentley? Bentley has ruined the show.
He'd be out in the kitchen in the morning, and he'll come out to me the day after and be like, telling me all these things about it. And I'm just like, really?
The very first episode of the show, she got a text from someone she knows who knows Bentley, who said, don't trust this guy. He's going on this show just to be on TV and be an asshole. Don't trust him. She's like, well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then she falls for the guy. So she's completely warned about everything. And she's still,
she's not real bright.
Yeah. Not a smart tomato. Or is it potato? I don't know. But anyway.
Potato, tomato.
Let's go ahead and take a break. When we get back, we'll talk about MasterChef. Huh? What do you guys say?
Yeah.
That should be pretty fun. Let's talk about Joe Bastianich yelling at people. Yeah.
The bulldog.
All right, guys. Be right back.
Where you going? Get back here!
Chocolate lovers, watch out!
Hostess Choco gives you sweet sensation. Moist chocolatey cake with chocolatey filling. Chocolatey icing so smooth.
Oh, Choco gives you sweet sensation.
Medical news from Nuprin.
Moments ago, a medical study reported the best news for tough headaches in over 10 years. Beyond regular strength aspirin, beyond extra strength Tylenol. There's a higher level of pain-relieving strength, Nuprin strength. Two little Nuprin are stronger than extra-strength Tylenol, so Nuprin stops headaches better. And remember, Nuprin is gentler to your stomach than aspirin. For strength beyond extra-strength Tylenol, Nuprin strength.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day, and if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A.
If the name's Oscar Mayer, it's quality meat and no fillers, just the best that it can be.
You want a bite?
C.D. Bales has a small problem.
Hey, big nose.
He can handle every situation.
15 love.
Except the one that matters most.
Roxanne.
Maybe you'd like some wine with your nose. Cheese.
This time I want you to do it, Dave. I want you to cut that thing off.
Tell Roxanne that you love her.
Daryl Hannah.
Say something romantic.
Darling.
Roxanne. Rated PG. Starts Friday at select theaters.
Hello, I'm Orville Redenbacher with my new improved microwave popping corn.
Fewer unpopped kernels than ever before.
And I give you lots more popped corn, which is good. Because once you start eating it, you won't want to stop.
Orville Redenbacher.
Up to 10 cups more per box.
Crunchy time beats the heat. Not too tart, not too sweet. Tis that lemonade for way back when. Crunchy time tis for me and you again, yeah.
As a hospital volunteer, I've noticed instead of Tylenol, patients here get Anacin 3.
A major hospital system replaced Tylenol tablets with Anacin 3, same aspirin-free medicine as Tylenol, but it cost them less.
Anacin 3 can cost you less, too.
If you're not giving your sandwich French's mustard, it may not like it.
No!
So come on, give them what they want. French's mustard. Be good to your food.
I'm the ice cream angel.
Wow! I'm going to show you something new. Heaven sundaes on a stick.
Oh, meow.
Made with rich, premium ice cream, swirls of creamy fudge, covered with a dark, chocolatey coating and roasted peanuts.
Mmm, can I have another heaven sundae?
New heaven sundaes. They taste so good, we just had to call them heaven. Try a double fudge bar.
Oh, I can't eat chocolate. I can't. So, it looks so rich. I can't. So creamy. I can't. So sinful. I can't. I can't. I really can't.
It's from Weight Watchers.
Oh, yes, I can.
Weight Watchers double fudge bars.
So chocolatey. So smooth. And it's from Weight Watchers. So it says, yes, I can.
Troubled by bad breath.
Then have a Milk-Bone dog biscuit to help scrape away plaque and food particles to give you cleaner teeth, fresher breath. Get Milk-Bone because, naturally, every dog wants fresher breath.
Wednesday.
Dolly Parton is staying in town secretly.
Working 9 to 5.
It's Perfect Strangers. And Arvid unveils a new image.
Is that Arvid Ingen or General Patton?
It's Head of the Class.
Tonight.
I love it at dawn. The whole world seems fresh and brand new again.
As light and clear now as the juice of a fresh-cut pineapple. That's today's Dole 100% pure pineapple juice. Pineapple orange and pineapple grapefruit, too. All with a brand new taste of morning.
You know, Christopher, it's mornings like these that remind me of when I was a little boy.
Yeah, me too.
That's the nature of Dole.
Now, what, I say, what's all the ruckus?
I'm a chicken hawk, and I can't catch any chickens.
Don't be a lunkhead, son. You want to know how to get great chicken? Go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
We do chicken right.
Ooh. Ow, ow.
You've got sunburn pain.
Medicated Noxzema Skin Cream. Cool sunburn pain instantly. So you'll say,
ah. Oh, yeah.
Noxzema cools the burn fast.
Ah.
Couldn't you go for it?
Come on, you can't let a few years slow you down.
Couldn't you go for it?
Move it, move it!
Couldn't you go for the clean, clean taste of Lipton tea?
When you're this thirsty, Lipton iced tea tastes pure, light, clean, not syrupy and sweet like a soft drink.
The clean, clean taste of Lipton tea right now.
You can also get that great clean taste in Lipton decaffeinated tea.
No matter how hard you try, you just can't wrestle as much cavity-fighting fluoride out of Crest as you can out of this. Introducing Extra Strength AIM, the only extra strength cavity fighter.
Sorry, Colgate. Looks like your 20 years of maximum fluoride protection is going right down the tubes. Introducing Extra Strength AIM with 50% more fluoride, the only extra strength cavity fighter.
Meet Cindy, our sailor. Cindy's got that sinking feeling because she's wearing a diaper with a droopy waist that leaks. Ahoy, Cindy! Here's Kleenex Huggies diapers to bail you out. Huggies are thick and absorbent with soft, cuddly, elastic waistbands to help stop those leaks. So Huggies hug all over to help stop leaking and help keep babies happy. Now Cindy's wearing Huggies, and it's smooth sailing from now on. Right, Cindy?
What's for dinner? Well, Lipton recipe soup mixes give you days and days of delicious ideas. So what's for dinner? Lipton.
There's something about a train. There's something about a train that's magic.
This summer, why not give the kids a real train ride? Amtrak's Auto Train is offering 40% off the regular adult and automobile fares to Florida. And for children under 12, 70% off.
All aboard, America. All aboard, Amtrak.
I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
All right, guys, we're back. And Bill, you and I were talking during the break over the chat thing that Ustream, which is where people can listen to us live, is now playing ads over the show.
Yeah, every 10 minutes they play a 30-second ad.
And so basically, in order to turn that off, I mean, that would be okay if we got paid for it, but we don't.
No.
It's a pay-for-Ustream,
I
guess.
But they want us to pay for it to turn it off. Yeah, they want us to pay for it, or the listeners to pay for it in order for the ads to go away.
Right. So we'll just – sorry, guys, about that. I had no idea. You know, we've had a break for a while now on the show, so I haven't been keeping up with Ustream at all. So we'll check out, like, Justin TV or something like that for the next show. So sorry about the inconvenience, guys. I can't believe they're playing ads over my voice while I'm talking.
bastards.
How rude is that?
Is this something new for you, son?
Who were yes, the it ad is. Wizards who came up with that one?
Yeah, like I said, you know, like I believe in advertising. If it pays me money.
Yeah, if we benefit from it.
Yeah, screw that. What do we have, like 3 live listeners? They can't be making anything from these ads.
Well, 5 current.
Well,
but we've had 24.
Well, thank you to the 5 people who are listening. That's awesome.
We got Mark, otherwise known as M. Daddio, Andy from Oklahoma, a.k.a. Michigan, KC1. I'm not sure who KC1 is.
So let me ask you this. It's every 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
What is the ad they're playing?
I think it's random. And Udinosh is in the chat room, too. Can't
and how long is the ad? Is it like 30 seconds?
30 seconds, yeah.
30-second ad. So they don't get to hear whatever we were talking about? Or does it just take them right back to
where
it
cut off? No, they said for 30 seconds, they missed 30 seconds of the show.
Wow, that's annoying. Yeah, sorry guys. We'll figure this out during the following week. You know, after the show's over, I'll figure it out.
I can't even imagine the wit that they're missing during those 30 seconds.
I know.
The gold.
And we're about to talk about MasterChef, so hopefully there's not a break anytime soon. Because there's been a lot of episodes of MasterChef, guys. So it'd be impossible to catch up on all this. We had all the auditions and stuff like that.
Lots of characters.
My favorite is the guy who always wears the chef hat. The
weird chef hat. He's from Dallas,
he's
too.
Goofy, like, ooh. He seems like a talented guy, and he's really goofy.
Yes, he's friends with Tim Oslin, or Jim Oslin, or whatever the hell his name is. James Oslin.
Or Jimmy, as I call him.
Jimmy!
So, my favorite guy is Steph from Pretty in Pink. Do you know who? I was watching it, I was like,
oh my God.
It popped into my head. That's who he reminds me of.
That is awesome. That's
Steph
hilarious.
From Pretty in Pink, the rich kid.
Max.
And nobody likes this kid. He didn't seem overly like annoying to anybody.
But how appropriate is that name for the rich kid? My
Max.
Name's Max.
Max.
It's probably Maxwell.
And I think, like, this week they did the, what was that? Like a sausage sandwich for bikers?
Yeah, sausage and peppers.
Well, like the travel guy from Dallas with the one with the weird hat.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of biker friends back in. No,
that was,
you don't.
Wait
a second. The guy with the chef's hat has biker friends?
Yeah, that's what he said.
He knows 2 guys who own motorcycles. Yeah. Not the same thing.
Both are doctors.
They're bikers,
something.
Yeah. But I thought it was funny that. You know, I
members of the Pink Angels.
What I love about this show, I love the mystery box thing at the the Monday's episode. They do the mystery box thing. I love that. But my favorite thing is always the elimination thing they do, where they give a challenge. I just eat that shit up. I love it. But my favorite part is whenever Joe Bastianich gets pissed off. You notice he always takes a dish and throws it whenever he's emphasizing a point.
Disgusting.
Like, what is it? They had to make a rack of lamb this week on the challenge, and he gets really annoyed that this one chick cooks her lamb raw.
She waits till like 5 minutes and then puts it in a hot pan.
I love this. Let's listen to how irritated Joe gets.
In the Mystery Box Challenge, the judges will taste just 3 dishes.
10, 9.
The winner will receive a huge advantage going into the next round.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and stop!
Chef Ramsay yells time, and I made a haste decision, and now I wish I would not have plated that.
We've been watching you all very closely. And observing all those techniques, studying that level of creativity, and really seeing you take this challenge face on. I'm going to single out one dish that stood out. Jennifer.
Oh.
Your dish definitely stood out. Unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons.
Jennifer, this I have to make a point of, because this is not even about cooking, about technique. This is a complete disaster. This lamb is raw. It's completely raw.
It's raw!
you can't...
Damn.
You take this thing and you cut it in half. It would be dangerous to serve a piece of lamb like this to a judge. This is raw. Raw. Do you see this? Yeah. Raw. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about trying to serve us raw food? We're here to judge this thing. We're watching you cook. We're not idiots. You know, if it were for me, this is not an elimination round. I would send you home now. This is a serious cooking competition with a serious prize. Don't come in here and waste our time. Because it will throw you out of this competition if you do something as stupid as to serve us raw, unsanitary food.
Whoa. Man, that's dramatic.
Her ass is bleeding.
I love that dramatic Inception type music. That's what I love about this show. Bwong. Yeah, every movie trailer has that sound now. Have you guys noticed that?
And it grabs Bwong. You.
Every movie trailer, it fades to black, fades back in, and you're Bwong. Bwong. Okay.
It's like getting bashed over the head.
Yeah. Okay. You hear the sound. Bwong. The guy's running. Bwong. A monster is coming out of the water.
The Transformers 3 trailer had it.
Yeah. Bwong. I want just every movie to be that during the whole movie. Bwong. I remember that elevator movie, the M. Night Shyamalan produced movie.
Devil. Oh, yes. Devil.
Everything is Bwong. 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 And I was like, ah!
Stop it. You're scanning
Stop
my head.
Stop the madness.
There's some guy on the roof with a drum.
Hey, knock that shit off. I'm trying to watch a movie.
What's your name? Ah, Devil.
Oh, and I want to say something. Master Chef, they did something that almost happened last season but didn't. When they did the burger challenge, Gordon went up to him and he goes, Have you tasted that burger? You should, if you change something, you might come back in this. And he's like, no, we're good, Mr. Ramsay. And they lost, right? And I was thinking, what if they did change it and they won? Would that really be fair? Why is Gordon helping them? Well, he did it this time with the onions. You know, the onions are too sweet. Maybe if you got rid of them. Yeah, he's right. Okay. And then they end up winning. Why did he tell them anything? They should figure that shit out on their own, is what I think.
I don't agree with that at all, because I think, the red team may have been shit, but they would have won. I don't think that's right.
I'm sorry, Gordon, but no, I don't approve of that.
Well, originally,
I told you to shut up.
That one dude did want to have the peppers and the onions in it, and he got overridden by the chick.
No, that's too much and stuff. Why not? How about this? Give them the thing and have a condiment pile where they just put their own shit on it. Are you not? Yep. Maybe it's against the rules. I don't know. But when they did the
unsanitary.
When they did the elimination thing with the steaks, you have to make a rare, medium, and well done steak, Bill. And
yes.
I thought Steph had that locked up.
I did too. I thought his steaks looked so much better, even though only one side was seared. And, big deal.
Well, that was only on the rare one the medium.
Even Blaine was rooting for him, and they're not even friends anymore.
Blaine,
that crazy bitch Christine, she lost her mind in that. And
she's great television. Let's keep her.
Max should have had it.
I was surprised.
I just wanted to shake the shit out of that Christine.
But even Max said, you know what? I'm happy for her. She's a single mom. She could really use this. I'm rich.
even in his compliment,
he sounds like a dick.
Backhanded and obnoxiously arrogant.
Well, I like when he got picked last for the sausage. Oh, I'll stick around. I'll show these scumbags.
And nobody is rooting for the guy either. Oh, and the best part is when they're cooking their steak, this one girl goes, come on, Christine, concentrate. You got this. She goes, what do you think I'm doing? She just kind of yells at her. She's like, jeez.
I liked how she was banging everything on the table.
I like how they kept showing her kind of glancing up, and they show the little Chinese girl.
Yeah, and she was like, I hope she's not imagining mashing my head. She's like, bam,
that
bam.
Little Chinese girl always looks sleepy.
She looks like she just woke up, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
They just rescued her from some kind of a camp
or
something.
Come on, wipe your eyes. It's okay. You can wake up, little thing.
It's a fun show. I get into it. I like it.
It's not bad. I think this year it has a little too many characters.
Well, I was going to say this, Bill. Last year, didn't you seem to have a good gauge on who were the best cooks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have no idea, really, this season.
I think there's still too many people.
Yeah, that must
be
it.
I guess it's kind of, they don't have, like, across-the-board talent. Like, you know, they can cook different cuisines. Each one of them are still set into.
Well, this week, remember that black guy was eliminated and people were crying? I can't believe he's eliminated. I was like, have I ever seen this guy before?
Yeah, I've never seen him. I had no idea who he was.
So upset? I don't understand.
We didn't see him in the auditions. We didn't.
There's been like 20 hours of this show already, and I don't even remember him. All right.
I think that's a sign, whereas by now, we all knew that Whitney was going to win.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't quite sure. Remember that other guy was really talented, too. I don't remember his name. David?
Yeah, you nailed it.
I'll never forget this. It was David and Whitney, and I was really excited about watching the finale. That morning, I look on TV Squad, and it's like, Whitney's the winner. And they have a picture of him. I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, asshole.
Thanks, TV Squad.
So there's no suspense at all. So hopefully there will be this time. Who will win? All right, guys. You guys ready to talk about Rocco's dinner party?
Fine.
Let's talk about Rocco's dinner party. First of all, let's talk about Rocco. Rocco DiSpirito. I knew him from a show. Bill, you knew him from that. All of us knew him from the show. Restaurant. The Restaurant.
Yes.
Which got canceled quickly, but it was a show about him opening a restaurant featuring his mama's meatballs.
And it had like 8 episodes.
The show was bad. Maybe. He just seems kind of smarmy and douchey to me.
Smarmy. Definitely.
Well, he's one of those guys. He's the chef, but he doesn't cook.
Yeah.
Well, I knew him from
he did a show on Food TV called Melting Pot.
Oh, really? Like, I've seen him, like, he'll do little cooking segments on, like, the Today Show and stuff. I've seen him do that before.
Padma actually was a host on that, too.
Oh, okay.
They would switch out. It was, like, in the early 2000s, late 90s, and they would switch around. I think that's how they all – that whole Bravo area kind of started in that that food TV in the early 2000s.
Oh, okay. And, you know – here's what I like about the show. I like seeing people cook and stuff, but I think it's hilarious how Rocco, he's throwing a dinner party with his closest friends, and he needs some chefs to come in and audition for him. Make your signature dish, and if I like it, you get to stay. If I don't, the party ends for you, okay? And then when you get picked, it's two people, you compete for $20,000 to throw the best goddamn dinner party ever. And you decorate, you have a choice between three different, and I think it's funny, the funniest thing is he calls the place my house. This is my house, and you can decorate these three different dining rooms. I'm like, whoa, he's got three dining rooms in his house.
The foyer. The terrace.
Don't mind the gaffers over in the corner.
Yeah, so these chefs need to create an experience for the guests, right? And they even show them go to Whole Foods, just like on Top Chef and stuff. But the thing.
No, what is it? Garden of Eden is where they're going.
Oh, right. And so here it is. Okay, the best reason to watch this show is because it's douchetastic because of Rocco.
Oh, God, is it ever.
It is douchetastic.
Even the chefs they bring on are like so sure of themselves.
Yeah. It's funny how I've seen one episode where they're real competitive chefs and kind of rude to each other. Hey, you need some help over there? And other one where they're really helpful. Hey, I can help you with anything you need. No, thanks for asking. You know, it's just, I think there's been three episodes. But the first, here's the episode I have. It's a dinner party with a mystery guest. And that mystery guest is Padma. Hey! And she brings this special...
You will not take her from me!
The special herbs and spices that she's made, Bill. And Rocco wants to know if they could whip something up in 5 minutes. And they're like, oh, sure, no problem. And meanwhile, they're panicking.
Grilled cheese sandwich, bitch.
But also, Padma tells this fantastic way she makes potato skins. Did you catch that, Bill?
I go to TGI Fridays and make them.
I want to have a cookbook audio version where she just talks about recipes after this. So let's go ahead and check this out.
Chefs, how you doing?
Hey, Rocco.
One guest in particular is very excited to meet you guys. This is the mystery guest. This person is an Emmy Award nominated television host. A person who
someone shoot the xylophone player.
Thousands of dishes a year for a living.
Is it she Thomas is my Newman? Friend.
Padma Lakshmi.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Padma Lakshmi. Oh my goodness. I can't believe it.
Who you expected?
No.
Now you're really nervous.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you both.
Nice to meet you.
I'm very excited to eat both your food.
Padma's got a very refined palate, and she's going to eat my food. You know, that part makes me a little bit nervous.
Well, I brought you a little something.
Thank you very much.
This is a little of my spice blends. This is Afro-Caribbean from Easy
Exotic. Thank you very much. How about you make our guest very happy and whip up something for her with this spice blend?
Okay.
I think we've got some tuna, salmon, some paneer. In the fridge, maybe you can grill up something. Does that sound something,
that
like
sounds
something you'd
great.
Like? Can you do something in 5 minutes?
Yes, Chef.
All right, cool. Thank you so
take
much.
Take care and good luck. Thank you both.
She wants us to make an appetizer on the spot for her and her guest in 5 minutes. What the hell can I cook in 5 minutes?
Let me describe to you my perfect plate of potato skins. First, you take a nice russet potato out of the earth with your bare cold hand. After that, you boil it. Then you take it out when it's piping hot and you can barely hold it, and you scald your hands while you take a knife and you slice it this way. And you scoop some of the potato out so that skin gets nice and crunchy and brown at the edges. And you cook some bacon very, very slowly. And that'll cause it to caramelize and get spicy and crunchy. Then you take that...
I need a cigarette.
Papa just had sex with potato skin.
Right. So did I.
How D.L. Hughley, he was at the dinner party.
Man, that guy's hilarious. So hilarious he couldn't get a TV show at night. He got passed right over.
So who else has been guests on there? We talked about the guy from Mad Men.
Yeah, the guy from Mad Men.
And I'm trying to remember who was on there this week, but I don't remember.
I remember the guy with the gigantic scar across his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Michael W. Williams.
Yeah, he plays Chalky White on the Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, he was on The Wire, too.
Right. Yeah, he was on there. So, I mean, it's some cool people that he has on there, but I'm like, these aren't Rocco's friends.
Yeah.
They're like, God, what a douche. But, hey, great food.
There was an entertainment reporter that I recognized on one of them. Right. Like, I couldn't place him, but I recognized him.
And, you know, so basically whoever wins, you know, it's nice, and they all shake his hands, he gets $20,000. So that's it. It's not. It's just a competition for that one episode, you know. Mm. And I have another clip here, and this week they had Italian twins. And these guys were real Italians because you can't understand a word they're saying. Right? And one brother gets eliminated, and the other guy, he can't believe his brother. But the there's a girl on there, and she's marinating chicken in mayonnaise. And the way he says mayonnaise, is just priceless. Just, you got to hear the way this guy says mayonnaise. He cannot believe it's not Italian. Because they're supposed to make Italian dinners. So let's check this out. Love this music. Nice.
Chefs, I want to thank you for preparing these dishes for me. Unfortunately for one of you...
You sound so genuinely appreciative.
Nicola, this party will continue without you.
Bye. Ciao. Ciao. I was not expect to be kicked out. From my point of view, the lamb overcooked. But I'm proud of my brother, and I wish he's gonna kick the lady out of the kitchen.
What are you gonna do with the mayonnaise?
I'm gonna marinate the chicken.
Chicken with mayonnaise?
Yeah, makes it moist.
Mayonnaise for
is that Serge?
Mayonnaise.
Serge.
This is not Italian food.
How will you feel if I actually win this?
I'm going to cook Japanese food for the rest of my life.
It's Serge.
I think I have an advantage at this point because I'm in Italian and never trust a woman with blue eyes.
Huh? Why not? Mayonnaise.
Wait, how does he say it again?
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. She marinate the than the mayonnaise.
The chicken. I've never heard of chicken being marinated in mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise for chicken.
Mayonnaise.
That is not Italian food.
Mayonnaise. Man, I've got a new ringtone, guys. That's my ringtone. Whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, back down.
Shit, man. Steven called me. What's up, fool? What are you doing, man? Damn.
Unfortunately for one of you, the party's already over.
Oh, no. Oh. So anyway, it's just a really dumb show.
Yeah, it's basically they bring the food out, and then whoever is a celebrity or uncelebrity we've never heard of are like, oh, this is really good. Oh, this is really bad.
And yeah, there'll be a fashion person or someone who runs a restaurant, yeah. And we don't know who they are because we don't live in New York or L.A.
No, we have no idea who these people are, but for some reason the people at Bravo thought it was a good idea to put them on television.
I'm ready for Marcel to visit Rocco.
In his quantum kitchen, or
yeah, he needs to get that $20,000.
I think Rocco needs to be cooking instead of judging people.
Yeah, what is this? This is horrible.
He doesn't even make his own meatballs.
I want his mama to get in there with her meatballs. And there was another one of the Italian guys. He made meatballs, and he goes, "You give me a meatball? Are you serious? You want me to try your meatball? Do you know who my mama is? You know."
I'd have thrown a meatball right at his eye.
It's like, yes, you douche.
Taste I would have put meatball. A rock inside the meatball and threw it at him.
All right, Bill, enough with these cooking shows. Let's talk about Falling Skies.
Whee!
A new sci-fi show. And the first thing I'll start off with is we've been through a litany of alien shows, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say, litany.
Okay, V... The remake. Mm-hmm. I know some people liked it. I hated it. And here's why.
It's awful.
Here's why. No laser guns. You never see the aliens for the longest time. Every once in a while you see a tongue flash out or whatever. All the stupid shit with the sun and the dating the alien. Oh. I mean, it's just like, oh, it just goes on forever. All we want is action, you assholes. Why don't you know that?
Because they started losing ratings, they decided, oh, let's bring one of the old stars from the original V series.
Too late, assholes. Too late. Okay, now cut to the event. More aliens, right, Bill? But these aliens look human. No effects budget.
Which makes them totally uninteresting.
No effects budget. I'm an alien. Oh, we saved a lot of money.
Apparently, I love how their explanation was, they look like us, but their DNA is just slightly different. Like,
But also, Bill, we were here before you.
Yes.
Aw, man. Dibs on your planet. Aw, damn it.
This isn't your planet.
I call shotgun. Ah. So anyway, even go back, there was that show on ABC about with William Fichtner with the aliens.
Shit, that's right.
Remember that? And it was
took place in like Florida or something.
Well, I can't remember what it's called, but it was like really slow moving, and it was like, when are they gonna get to the aliens? What the hell's going on here? Okay. What I love about this show, Falling Skies, is that the aliens have already arrived and they've kicked our asses.
Yes.
It starts off as we're down.
Yeah, they've already wiped out our military. We're down for the count. We're hiding and scavenging. And it seems like through what I've heard from characters saying is they have attacked the cities and they're kind of – people are living on the outskirts kind of hiding and stuff. But they're not really messing with them that much. But what the aliens are doing is they're like camping out like in places where there's food and stuff where they know they might come around and then they'll pick people off. Right?
Yeah, and make them slaves, most of them slaves.
They seem to enslave children.
The younger, yeah.
And I'm wondering if that will, you know, as the show goes on, we'll learn why it's just children. Maybe adults, it doesn't work. I don't know. They're too mature, their brains or something. You know, that's just me.
Bodies are too old, maybe.
But I was talking about, like, the whole character of Noah Wiley. He's a school teacher. I like that idea that he's, like, second in command because he has military knowledge. But he's not a military guy. He's just a teacher, right?
Yeah.
There was a little too much of, hey, what did you do before this happened?
History stuff. Exposition, yeah.
Yeah, there was too much of that exposition. And I was like, okay, it's the first couple of hours. I understand or whatever. Maybe they'll get over this. But we don't need to be talking about what someone did before this happened, like in hour five or something. You know what I mean? Unless it's a new character. I could just say, I was a mechanic or something. But what I like about Noah Wiley's character is he has sons that he's taking care of, and it's not like the V thing. His son's not dating an alien or anything. Because he's when it first starts out, and the kid, you know, it's a kid drawing a picture, and it's kind of talking about how his, he's, you know, the kid's talking about his parents are dead, you know, one of the kids. Yeah, well, the mom is dead, and this other kid, he's like, well, my dad and brother went out today. I don't know where they are. And then they cut to them scavenging for food, and you see people get killed. And then you even get to see an alien. So many shows, they take like hour nine to show us the aliens, Bill. Like, yeah. Come on, where are the freaking aliens already?
We've already seen two types or three types.
Yeah, there's mechs, and then the, what are they called?
Skitters.
Skitters. Yeah, skitters. And what are the other guy? We call them cooties.
Pope.
And we'll get to Pope later, but I like the establishment. You know, it's people, and I've seen some people compare it to The Walking Dead, how it's post-apocalyptic or whatever.
In a way, with a, like a traveling colony of
This is a more people. Positive kind of thing. Until they run into the outlaws, which I was like, oh no. You know, these other humans who want well, their guns.
It's kind of like community.
Community?
Right? What was that one, the show that where they were set in the post-apocalypse. They had people come trying to steal their... The show we were watching.
Oh, The Colony.
Colony.
The Colony, okay.
Colony.
Yeah, yeah, some parts of it did run. You
sorry.
Really threw me off because there's the comedy show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
sorry. About. I missed that episode. No, but The Colony, yeah.
Yeah, Colony.
There
it's
is,
the
yeah.
bike gang.
I do remember that stuff with, like, The Colony and stuff.
It's like, it kind of reminded me of that, was the you got the guys who were... They'll attack anybody for
right
their
and they
food.
It's just every man for himself but yeah. And I was like, oh shit, I hate the subplot, you know, but I liked how it ended up, didn't you, Bill? When the
yeah, it cleaned it up nicely.
Yeah, because
I think even they realized, like, oh, we're getting in a really
like
shit territory
the,
here.
They made the blonde chick escort him out with a you know, a cover on his head so he doesn't know how to get back here. I was like, why would she be helping these assholes? And then later on, you know, when the guy's like, hey, honey, stand up and spin around, and she's having none of that because they had her way with her and stuff. I like that. That was yeah. Okay, that's good. And then the fact that they killed all of Pope's men, I was like, okay, that's good. Okay, you've been pretty much made up for that because, you know, people should be teaming up against
yeah,
the aliens.
You got rid of all the a-holes, yeah.
Against the skitters and stuff. And there's some cool action scenes and stuff, too. I liked when... Noah Wiley goes one-on-one against the one skitter in, like, the sewers or whatever.
Yeah, and I really love that. I mentioned to you earlier that I love that in the close combat shots, they're using real creature effects, like a
right.
I don't know, animatronics or puppet or something.
Uh-huh.
And then they only use CGI in, the like, the wider shots, the stuff that is in the background, so you really – it doesn't stick out.
Right.
Like, it's really well done CGI, especially even the part where whenever he finally confronts it, and he's running away and it kind of climbs the wall and the ceiling
yeah,
and then drops.
I love that. That it was falling above his head like a spider.
Yeah, I thought that was really well done. Like, it didn't scream CGI to me at all.
Well, when they did the scare of him going, is there, hello, is there somebody in here? It's like, don't do that. And then he yeah. turns on the flashlight and the thing's like, rah! Like right there. I was like, if the thing startles me, that's good. If it's an alien, yeah. I'm like, ah, ha, 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 or whatever, that's bad. So the fact that it startled me was good. And remember, Pope said the best way to take them out is to blow their legs off, and then they can't move. Then you shoot them point blank. So that was cool. He had that shotgun, and he blew his hands off. I was like, that's pretty sweet, right? That's yep. good stuff. And
I also like that the alien, the creature design is done in a way that you almost feel bad for the skitter whenever it's laying there, like, injured, and he drags it through the room, and then it's locked up, and it's got those big, sad eyes, like it's dying.
I would have shot that thing in the head, man.
I felt bad for it momentarily.
Well, and yeah, the weird mech things, and I like the one guy, he's like, it's weird how the mech doesn't resemble their body in any way. Like, are they trying to...
Yeah, it's like a
out.
Pod on stilts.
Yeah. And it, well, the crazy thing is how, like, when Noah Wiley, remember they're raiding, like, a Costco or something?
Yeah.
And he's, like, unloading on it with the AK, and the bullets are going, beep, 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 just bouncing off. And it's like, oh, shit, they need better ammo than this, don't they?
That's why I was surprised that after he got back to the group and he drags that alien back, he's like, can I trade this shotgun in for an assault rifle? And I was like, no.
Like, you need, like, they need hollow-tip slugs and shotguns, don't they?
Need, yeah. Quadrangle buckshot.
They need 50 caliber armor piercing rounds. You know, those big 50 caliber sniper rifles.
Yeah.
Just shoot right through the brain pan. That'd be pretty sweet. So
that would be pretty sweet. So,
hopefully we'll see some of that. Now, okay, I have a clip here. And one thing I'm so happy about is we have a show, a sci-fi show to talk about. It has nothing to do with cooking or anything like that. Let's check this out. They have Pope, now Prisoner Bill, and they're trying to figure out what to do with this asshole. He's basically an outlaw pirate who's stealing from people. What do they do with this guy? Let's check it out.
Hey, hungry?
You bet I am. Here you go. Everybody's got a right to eat. Yeah,
thank you.
You got a problem.
What is it, Skitter on the King?
Chicken and rice.
You sure?
Look, if it's not up to your usual high standards, you'll have to make allowances. We all take turns in the kitchen.
And let me guess, your turn.
First of all, the chicken shouldn't bleed like this. It's way undercooked. That, and you got an assault in here to give my kid a stroke. And what is that? What is that, paprika? Paprika? Nobody puts paprika on chicken. What are you, Hungarian?
You do realize you're a prisoner, right?
Before you grill it, fry it, put it on a barbecue, you poach the chicken first. Preferably in some chicken stock, a little bit of herbs and spices. That way it absorbs all the herbs and all the spices. And then you can drop it onto a barbecue, you can grill it, put it into a frying pan, and all that moisture and all that flavor is already cooked into it.
What are you, a cook?
Certified culinary arts. And it's chef, not cook.
Ah, finally.
You sure this isn't a cooking show?
Wait a second. This is a sci-fi show about aliens. What happened? Now, Bill,
they changed it up just for us.
Now, we did have a couple of, as I call them, My Dog Chips moments. The part where they're sticking out the armory. They throw a tennis ball and the dog chases after it, which I guess is to attract to see if there's a mech or Skitter there. When the mech comes out, I figured the dog's done his job, right?
Yeah, the dog barks, the mech sees it, and either the mech snuffs it, or I was thinking maybe because the aliens don't think anything of domesticated animals, right. They just kind of let them roam.
The fact that they were doing it in the first place made me think is they've done this 100 times.
Yeah.
And the dog will be fine. It'll just be like non-threatening, move along or whatever. But the kid, it's like a 12-year-old soldier or something, which I think is cool. They're arming kids with machine guns. He's like, no, chips.
Chips.
And he like runs and he's like, no, get down. And the thing's like, or whatever, shooting at him with its laser targeting. And I was like, you dumbass kid, what the hell?
That's the only part in the entire 3 hours that I watched that made me groan.
Well, the other time it happened, Bill, I understood it, but it still drove me nuts, is when Noah Wiley finds his son. Actually, his older son finds one of their sons who's been taken.
Ben!
They call it harnessed, where the aliens, they place this parasite-looking thing that attaches to your spine.
It's like an armored parasite.
It looks pretty freaky, and they can control. They're like drones. They've turned kids into drones who do manual labor and stuff, which I need some of that to like do my lawn and stuff. That'd be pretty cool. But So, anyway, he follows a chain of command, right, Bill, where he has to do what they say, kind of. Will Patton is the stern guy in charge. But he's like, all right, you go take some men and go get your son. But he takes this one black guy whose son is also missing. So when they stumble upon the kids there, he's like, my son, come here. And he runs over there. Yeah. They're like, what are you doing? I was like, okay.
We're not here for your kids. Screw you, buddy.
My son, Chips. Oh.
Chips.
It's like, his name is Chips, too? And
so, where's my salsa?
So he cluster Fs everything. He gets his son, but Noah Wiley gets knocked unconscious. He gets dragged away. His son and his girlfriend get stunned, like some kind of stun ray or something. And I thought it was creepy when the son wakes up and his girlfriend's being dragged away by his brother and the other, and he's like, you know, trying to get him to stop, but he can't. And then they make, basically it's a warning. Like, if you take one of our slaves or drones, we'll kill all the rest of them in his, cause it, didn't
they killed one of the,
they made it look like
drones.
They were part of like, almost think of it as like a chain gang. Like maybe there's 10 yeah. of the kids, they're all in one group. And then there's another 10 or another 10. If you take one of those, we'll just kill the rest of them. Like maybe that's how it works. So they kill all the kids in front of him, like to his horror, and then they have to figure that out. But I think it's a fun show. It's really cool that the aliens are assholes, you know?
Yeah.
And you just want to kill them. You want them to find better weapons and take them out.
It's just really well made, and Noah Wiley is fantastic in it.
I think he's really good in it. And, you know, I just, the whole thing about like zombie movies that I've always had a problem is when somebody puts everyone in danger by doing something stupid. So when that kid did that, I was so glad in the next mission, he's like, you're sitting this one out. He's like, oh, man, is this because I screwed up? It's like, yeah. And then the guy who takes his place,
and he punches him in the eye.
You notice what happens to the black guy who takes the kid's place, don't you? Gets killed.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He gets two arrows in the stomach.
Two arrows right in his chest.
He's like, this is an alien with a bow and arrow?
This sucks.
Message for you, sir.
And that guy who shot him, the big dumb guy, who was the brother of Pope, I was so glad when he got killed. I was like, I hate this character so
that
much.
Done really well.
Yeah, that was cool. So, Falling Skies, I dig it. I can't...
What night is it normally on? Because I had to find it online.
It is on Sunday nights.
Okay, I got to set it on my DVR.
The first episode was 2 hours, the two-hour pilot. And then the second episode was an hour. But I was like, I thought this is 2 hours every Sunday. So I was like,
It's a miniseries or a full-time series?
It's a miniseries, but potential to be like an ongoing miniseries. Basically what they mean is like maybe 10 episodes every summer or whatever. And here's another thing, Bill. The first night, ratings were huge. I even heard that they were bigger even than the premiere of The Walking Dead. Like over, you know, a 5 point something or whatever. So they were huge ratings for TNT.
Oh, bummer. The second week it dropped 30%.
Yeah, but
still 4.2 million, that's a really good cable audience.
It really is. And the thing is, I think that if something that sci-fi is getting that kind of ratings, that's really good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like Battlestar Galactica. I don't even think Battlestar Galactica got that great of ratings. I don't know.
No.
I never paid attention.
I think it was – I don't think it was nearly as viewer-friendly as something like this.
This is more like a kid could watch this, and maybe some things might be a little scary, but there's definitely not any hardcore
BSG's a little too – yeah,
too
philosophical,
too dark for a kid to watch. You know, I mean, I'm talking like a little kid. I mean, teenager,
like 7 to 10.
But I like the whole idea of like when it's got Captain Dale Dye in it, which I think is awesome. He's a badass guy who's always
he's always a general.
He's a military advisor on
on
movies. So I think it's cool they got him. And he's like, we need to understand their technology. We need to understand how they work. And all this, I'm like, we got to get our hands on some laser guns, dude. Because I was like, are they shooting bullets? But they're like, it makes like a
pulse gun or something.
Yeah, it's definitely some kind of thing. And the skitters don't have weapons. They just look like they try to beat you up.
They're just really fast.
They're just like, row, and they grab you. And how many legs do they have? They have four legs.
Six.
They have six legs.
Six legs.
Two arms, right?
Because
at first I was like, is this the guy who designed Cloverfield, Bill?
No!
But no, they only have two arms. They have multiple legs.
And for Page!
But I like how, you know, when we're talking about Noah Wiley talking about things, I do like where when he talks about there have always been moments in history where the underdog, the smaller force, caused enough havoc to the larger force for them to give up.
Yeah.
And he names examples. And I was like, yeah, that is true. That's pretty cool, you know? And also talking about, using his knowledge. I mean, we get it. He's a history buff or whatever, but it is cool at the same time when you start thinking about different tactics into getting in the alien base and stuff.
He's got the good mind of a leader. And it's not so subtle that he thinks he should be leading the armed forces group and not the guy that Will Patton.
Yeah, I do like the part where Moon Bloodgood, the girl, she's like, "How come none of the civilians, they get to sleep in houses?" And he's like, "Well, you know, my men need rest." I just think it's funny. That's whole thing. But it's a fun show. Oh, I'm just like having a show like this to talk about. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I really, really enjoyed it.
Now, Bill, I want to give you the floor here, because before we do the news, True Blood came back, right?
And, yeah.
I watched the premiere on Sunday. I don't know. Did you get to see it?
I missed it.
And while I watched it, and I thought it was a pretty decent premiere. I was like, okay, you know, they're setting up stuff with witches and stuff. I go on Twitter, and I'm like, hey, I wonder what Bill thought of it. And you were like really like adamant that you – I don't know. Have you bailed on the show?
I haven't bailed, but it's overstaying its welcome for me. It's just so – I think I'm getting tired of its tongue-in-cheek quality. I know some people really enjoy it. It's fun for them. And it was for me at first, but it's getting to be more boring for me than it, 'cause it's to be expected at this point. So the last episode I truly enjoyed was when it was surprising, whenever the one vampire guy shows up at the newscast and pulls the newscaster's heart out.
Right. Yeah, that was
great. That was really like, wow, that's a great thing to do. But it seems like they're just going through the same rigmarole. And now instead of a main ad, they have a coven of witches.
Right. It's, you know, a
it's
setup.
Like, it just seems it's going through this standard mode of and now they're already setting up that Eric is going to be involved with Sookie, and Bill is now head honcho, but he's got other things going on, and
right.
It's just it's too many characters, too many plot lines. It's falling into its own like murky minutia.
They're definitely setting up the season now. They're setting things in motion, and they have to show what everybody's going through. There's some genuinely really funny moments, though.
Oh, yeah, I don't deny that, but I just feel like they're just getting
–
they need to
lines.
Take a step back and go, are we putting 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound
Okay, I will say this about the show. There is a nerve-wracking pace to the show.
Yeah.
The show will have you on edge just by how much shit's going on.
And can we just kill off Tara? Every time she's on – the moment she showed up in the first episode with the whole cage fighting shit, I was just like, oh, come on. She is one of the most annoying characters I think I've ever seen in anything.
I honestly, I'm not sure why she's on the show right now. And that's not a good sign for a character when you're just not sure what they have to do with the story.
She's just there. Right. So apparently she's so traumatized by the death of Eggs.
She knew that guy for 5 minutes.
Yeah. She's moved to New Orleans.
She knew that guy as long as the
lesbian cage fighter.
The Bachelorette hung out with Bentley longer than she hung out with Eggs.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But here's my favorite part in the premiere, Bill. Arlene comes home and her baby has pulled the heads off of all of the Barbies.
Yes, that's
and remember,
fantastic.
She's freaked out because Renee, who is the father of the child, killed women. So she comes home and he's... The baby's on the floor, and he's pulled all the heads off the Barbies. She picks the baby, and she goes, "It's wrong to kill." I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. She's good, even though I think the thing that annoys me the most, there's just these little moments throughout the show, like the whole Hoyt and Jessica thing, like the two different worlds, yet they love one another and all that. I don't want to see domestic shit.
You don't
want to
see fighting
blood.
Every episode, right?
Huh?
You don't want to see a domestic squabble every
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much.
There,
just give me the crazy shit that's going on.
Right. when things happen, like whenever someone like Tara goes off on a rampage where she's saying MF-er to everybody and she just wants to be left alone, I'm like, leave her alone. Get her off my TV screen, okay?
Yeah.
When Sookie gets all mad at Bill irrationally and get out of here, that drives me crazy, okay? Yeah. Jason, I still love him. I don't know what the hell's going on with his character.
Yeah, you
know,
that whole plot line is just so weird. So I don't know where they found this hotshot place where they're shooting it, but I mean, just the creepiness of it, like people were afraid to come out.
You know what? I just read an article on places TV shows film at.
Uh-huh.
Do you know where True Blood is filmed at?
I don't know. Vancouver?
It's filmed in Los Angeles.
Isn't that really?
Yeah, disappointing. I was like, wow.
I could have swore it was shot in the South.
I was like, they're down there right next to Treme filming their show.
Yeah, it feels very Southern.
They do a good job with the production values, I think. It's a very well-made show. There's a bit of, like, there's stuff and characters that I like, and there are characters that I don't think necessarily have anything to do with the story anymore, and maybe they don't necessarily need to.
That's what's exhausting.
Give them a lot of airtime. But I'm hoping it settles
down. If it just concentrated on the crazy shit going on with Eric, Bill, Sookie, you know, do the Jason Stackhouse stuff if they want, and leave everyone else out.
I'll tell you, I also love seeing Gary Cole in the episode. I thought it was just a neat surprise that Gary Cole was in it.
What the hell is going on with that shit? The fairy stuff.
Yeah, they're not fairies. They're goblins, aren't they?
Yeah, Nilbog. Nilbog.
I like that. That whole, like, holy shit, what the hell is going on? I didn't think much of it.
The light grenade thing had me giggling.
Yeah, the way it opened with, like, what the hell is going on? I don't mind that stuff because it kind of throws you off. So I'll see what else. I've only seen the first episode, Bill. You've seen the first two.
Well, yeah, the moment after I watched the first episode and they said, go online, HBO Go, watch the second episode, I was like, oh, okay, I'll give it a chance.
It's funny, Heather, you know, she loves True Blood, and she was like, download that, I want to watch it on my phone. I was like, we're not going to watch True Blood on our phone, okay, on the phones.
I don't think you can use HBO Go on the phone. I think it's strictly like a computer thing.
It was on video on demand. You could actually download it on your DirecTV box. I noticed, but I was like, I'll wait till Sunday. I mean, I can wait.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if the Falling Skies ratings might have dropped because that was the premiere of True Blood at the same time.
It's entirely possible.
But I tell you, right now I'm in love with Treme. I love this show so much. I know neither one of you guys watch it. It's about New Orleans people.
I started watching The Wire.
Yeah,
a couple months ago, and I thought it was quite possibly one of the greatest television series that I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying about Treme. They're on episodes, I'll be laughing through the whole thing, just having a great time, and then something tragic happens, and I'm in a somber mood, and I have to go on a walk afterwards.
There was something to go on a walk about?
Like, two episodes ago, there was something that happened to a character on the show that I was like, what's going on? I was walking around like just kind of like a zombie. Like, why did this happen? I didn't foresee this happening. What's going on? Because you just care about the character so much and the relationships. And there's people on the show, you know, it goes from one person to another. Think of like the movie Slacker, you know, they're all in the
end.
When you see a character and another character who don't even know each other in the same place in two different scenes, you're like, oh my God, they're in the same place. Yeah, that's so cool. You know, I geek out over it like that. And, you know, it's about different musicians. One character is a chef, and they have real chefs like Tom Colicchio has been in there. David Chang was in the most recent episode, Bill. Like
I saw that. I saw on a blog that
Kim Dickens goes to work for David Chang's place. And I think that's really cool because also the No Reservations guy, Anthony Bourdain, he writes all the restaurant scenes, which is really cool. But there's also different musicians and stuff. It's just really cool, and I laugh.
I'll tell you what, if they lower the price of the Blu-ray set of the first season, I'll buy it and get involved with it. But I'm not paying
$60 for it.
HBO is notorious for that, aren't they?
I mean, come on, $60
But
for
I will
it?
Tell you this, Bill.
In 3 months, it'll come down to $19.
The sound on this show is incredible because there's a lot of musical numbers and stuff. I watch this show so freaking loud. It's unbelievable. Like, during the day, you know, turn on all the lights and just watch it so loud. It just sounds fantastic. And I've never even been into that kind of music and stuff, but I get into it on this show.
Oh, yeah. There's something really incredibly infectious about that, like, Dixieland jazz.
Yeah, there's actually different kinds of music that are represented, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the show means a lot to me. I'm so glad HBO picked it up for a third season, because I almost, when I'm watching it, I'm like, I would love to see a show done like this. And I've never seen The Wire, but apparently it was done like this in a similar way where it goes to the different characters and they don't necessarily know each other. But they do it in such a way that it's beautiful.
What's crazy about The Wire is that it'll spend, like, it'll do one season with a certain group and then another season with an entirely different group.
That is awesome.
But they'll be interconnected in that way that you just said, like, hey, there's, you know, so and so, and they, you know, it just, that's, it's really, I think it's all in this, is it David Simon or
yeah
I think it's just the way he likes to do character pieces,
and I love it too, because there's one musician who plays the trumpet who's in New York a lot, and Kim Dickens' character, she's gone to New York, she fled last season. She couldn't, New Orleans whipped her ass, as she said, and she's just ready to do something else. And when they run into each other and they're like, oh, you're from New Orleans or whatever, and they start talking, there's just something really, like, giddy, exciting about it, that these two characters you've been watching who don't know each other are meeting for the first time. It's hard to explain, but it's just really cool. And I just really like the show. And the show, it also makes New Orleans look really scary too, because of the crime and shit.
It is scary. I mean, it is. I've never been there, but it is frightening.
I've been there, and I never felt safe. And
I've read all the Anne Rice books and all that stuff. And I mean, there's like a whole level of creepiness to that area.
I'll never forget this: walking in the French Quarter, or whatever, and looking over and seeing kids that look like teenagers that were homeless, just hanging out. You know?
Yeah.
It's like they live on the streets and stuff. It just looked really sad.
Did you ever go into the voodoo shop there?
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to do.
We went to a lot of the hurricane places,
the
mixed drinks and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah. Treme. Bill, you want to do this some news?
Do this some news.
Bill, would you like to do some news? But I will just want. Yeah. This is how I feel when I watch Treme. Well, no, maybe not that.
Someone trying to kill you.
Oh my God! All right, Bill, let's do some news.
Nothing but don't miss. Don't. America!
All right, Bill. What kind of news do we have this week?
He's an asshole. All right. Starting off, this has been a really big story. Even someone in the fan club on Facebook posted it. A woman here about 30 minutes northeast of me in Delaware, Ohio, faces several charges after she sprayed deputies with breast milk as they tried to clean her. And you may think, like, well, did she, like, take a bottle and spray them? No, she took out one of her boobs.
Oh.
And squeezed.
Well, some people are into that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But
would that qualify in water sports?
Not or a strange just woman who you're not expecting. What the hell?
The incident occurred on a Saturday morning near the Bridgewater Banquet Bridgewater Banquet and Conference Center. Milk that cow. According to the Delaware County Sheriff's Office, deputies were called to the area after receiving calls about a domestic dispute. They must have been watching True Blood. When they arrived, a man told them that he had been attending a wedding at the facility with his wife, who had gotten drunk, struck him several times before locking herself in the car. That makes sense. Maybe she was like, well, I'm too drunk, I'm too angry, I'm just going to lock myself in the car. Keep myself away from you. But no, this guy decides to call police. So deputies try to talk to the woman, who was identified as Stephanie Robinette, 30, of Westerville, Ohio, which is kind of an upscale place. I lived near there, and it's very snooty.
Oh.
And she refused to cooperate. When deputies attempted to remove Robinette from the vehicle, she advised the deputies that she was a breastfeeding mother, proceeded to remove her right breast from her dress, and began spraying deputies and the vehicle with her breast milk.
It's not acceptable behavior.
Wow.
No, the deputies eventually able to remove Robinette from the car and arrest her. She was later charged with domestic violence, assault, obstructing official business, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Wait, was the assault part the milk? Because those guys are being wimps, okay? They're assaulting us, you know, with milk.
It's a boob, and she's spraying you. You know what? Just watch.
Just
and laugh.
Open your mouth and enjoy it. freak her out and go, mmm.
That is delicious, man. Thank you very
pull
much.
Pull out some cookies and go, hey,
pull out a cup.
It.
Can you fill
yes,
this
I
up?
Actually have some Oreos here in my pocket.
Yeah. Fill this up in this cup, and I'm going to dunk these.
Oh, I have some Cheerios in a bowl over here that we can... Robinette, who pleaded not guilty to the charges, was released from custody on her own recognizance following a video arraignment. Before her release, a teacher employed at a charter school... Oh, she's a teacher. Okay, Robinette, a teacher employed at a charter school, apologized for what had occurred. I have no criminal record. I take these charges very seriously, and I absolutely intend to seek help for substance abuse with alcohol because alcoholism does run in my family. Listen, she just got a little drunk, a little angry. She's obviously an angry drunk, but she's got to be, you know, cool because she whips out her boobs.
Yeah, come
on. Something. She's kind of awesome.
Is this something new for you, son?
I'll drink it. I've never.
You know what
tried
really sucks is that this gets out, and this was huge, huge story around here. Yeah, you know, they do the 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. I mean, it was on every newscast for at least 5 days. So this woman's face is plastered all over the news. Comes out again, you know, arrested over the weekend, and then it comes out she's employed at this Summit Academy, a respectable public charter school that specializes in the education of children with ADD and Asperger's. So she teaches second and third grade. The school's on summer break. The news starts contacting the management offices and all that. Then it comes out that they fired her.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, if this hadn't been such a bizarre story where, you know, she whips out her boobs, sprays some people. I mean, it had nothing to do with her job, but because her face is plastered all over the news for days. Parents are seeing this. News is calling the school. This lady gets fired. You know she's never going to be able to get another job in education again because of it. I actually felt kind of bad for her.
Yeah, I mean, it was an odd thing to go for the breast milk and squirt or whatever, but she was drunk, you know?
Really drunk. Really,
okay,
really
so
drunk.
That's so creepy.
And it says she allegedly struck her husband twice with a closed fist before locking herself in the car. So, I mean, come on. Who hasn't had a little fist of cuffs? Just a little.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her. She's a
kinda
nut,
like to hold
obviously.
You hostage for a while.
But she loves whipping them boobs out, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you shouldn't hit people. You know, the hitting part's bad, but
she should have just hit him with her boobs.
Right.
Just smacked it with a boob.
Don't say that.
It was out already. All right, here's hitting people with something that you shouldn't hit them with. Here's a story. Toronto police have seized the child involved in a bizarre incident on a Toronto TTC streetcar last Friday. A woman entered the streetcar at Dundas and Parliament with a child in a stroller shortly after an altercation arose with another passenger. The woman hit the other passenger using the child.
What?
Yes, she took the child, a toddler, out of the chair and hit the person with it. Here's.
Oh, I guess the baby's okay.
Yeah. It's happy.
Let it explode in a blinding flash of destruction.
It started with a minor misunderstanding, then flared up into what ended up happening. The woman exited the streetcar with the child before police arrived. Police found her. But not yet laid charges. That must be something Canadian. She weird. Said the child has been taken into custody and the investigation is ongoing. So, all right. Don't hit people with your kid.
Bad attitude.
Charleston, West Virginia, home of the fun times and hillbillies.
That's just where I flew.
No, not for me.
I'm Steven, hey.
Charleston, West Virginia is also the home of the girl from Alias, Jennifer Garner.
Really?
Yeah, she's from West Virginia. One person has been charged with grand larceny and a theft of copper wires near the Department of Agriculture.
That's huge bank back up there, Steven.
That is. First Sergeant C.A. Parsons and Trooper First Class R.R. Cervera arrested Irvin Tubby Page.
Oh, yeah.
Sistville. Page is no stranger to authorities, having been arrested in November for stealing copper wiring from the same area.
This shit, this copper wire thing, it's like destroying America, isn't it?
It's gold.
Last time
man.
I was in West Virginia, the same thing. They cut the power to some bar and they stripped all the copper out of it.
Yeah, I've even heard, like, if you, like, are along the freeway, like, the giant light poles, that any of them that are out, they say that usually copper copper wire has been stolen out of them. It's an epidemic.
The president has initiated ghost protocol.
Oh, my God.
So on Tuesday morning, department workers found the cable thieves had, for a second time in 2 months, taken phone lines that serviced the Office of Agriculture. Troopers noticed a suspicious white truck in front of the office and found that it was registered to Irvin Tubby Page.
Irvin Tubby.
I wonder if his nickname Tubby is for a reason. Or if they just call him Tubby. He's probably very skinny, very svelte.
The party's already over.
Parsons was going to have the vehicle towed because it was parked in front of the building, but Page arrived before the tow truck and left in the vehicle. Next morning, troopers were called out to investigate a copper theft that occurred sometime overnight in the woods near the agriculture office. They found phone lines laying on the ground, a section of red and white rope near a tree, and another section of rope hanging from lines overhead. They soon found Page at the Marathon gas station and immediately noticed he was using a segment of red and white rope to secure a ladder in the bed of his truck. He was also using it as a belt.
That's circumstantial evidence. That's
hey, get your hands off my belt. My pants are going to fall down. I didn't steal nothing.
I was picking apples.
That's all the red and white rope I got.
That's good rope. He was taken into custody and charged with grand larceny. Wow, that is pretty circumstantial, though. Can you imagine the rope? Hey, he's got that rope on his belt. That's that same rope. You stole our copper, Tubby.
I hate all those copper thieves. They should have like a really like even steeper fine for it, I think.
Well, here now in Texas is to sell the copper, you got to have a license for pulling cable and stuff.
I remember in Treme, there was even a copper thief. When people were rebuilding houses, one of them, the guy caught this young guy stealing the stuff, and he beat him within an inch of his life. And I was like, I enjoyed this scene. Damn copper thieves.
Hey, fine.
All right, Hillsboro, Missouri, A man wearing only a raincoat was taken in police custody after a garage burglary and sexual encounter.
Quiet, freeze!
That's quite a duo of things to
be
arrested for. Jefferson County Sheriff's Department said the man and a woman were in the process of burglarizing a garage on Glade Chapel Road.
Then they decided
when
to
they
do
decided
it.
To have sex.
Psychopath in the making.
Yeah, but while having sex, the woman sprayed the man with pepper spray.
Sometimes that feeling just happens. You know what I'm saying?
Man, we're getting some good shit here. Let's have sex. Wait, spray me with pepper spray. That'll make it even better. All right, so the investigator said the woman ran off. She must have just had, like, a change of heart or something. That's really strange.
Slice it this way.
Yeah, she ran off and drove the suspect's vehicle into a pond about 2 miles from the burglary location.
God, crazy bitch, what are you doing?
The burglary victim woke up and spotted the man leaving the garage with a bag. Investigators took the man into custody a short time later when he was spotted running down the road. Wow, what a mess.
Okay, that's so creepy.
The victim told investigators she was missing power tools and portable DVD players.
Huh? How'd she take stock of that so fast?
She had to go in to see what they were having sex on. There's people having sex on. Those are my portable DVD players! An out-of-control man claiming to be a superhuman during what old Lycoming Township, Pennsylvania police suspected was a drug overdose. Really? You suspect that? Faces charges after officers discovered in plain view 5 bags of marijuana inside the vehicle he's using. Somehow I don't think that marijuana makes you feel superhuman.
I'm so wasted!
Yeah, maybe it does.
I feel so powerful!
Police responded to investigate a report of a man causing a disturbance about 6 p.m. They found Kareem J. Jenkins sweating profusely, flailing his arms, and spinning in circles as he yelled that he was superhuman. Oh, he thought he was at a fish concert.
This is awesome, man. I love fish.
I just don't see what the hell you saw in that guy.
He apparently was suffering from the effects of an apparent overdose of an unknown drug.
Oh, I thought I was going to say overdose of marijuana. I'm so high right now, man.
I smoked so much.
I am so...
Drugs are so bad. Jenkins apparently had arrived at the scene using a car that was registered to his fiance. The car's driver door was open. Inside the door handle were 5 bags of marijuana, the officer added. Don't leave your car open when you're high. This is not a good idea.
Totally not, man.
Dude, there's dope in there.
Hi.
Nice. Yeah, so if you don't want to be picked up, don't sweat profusely, flail your arms, spin in circles, and yell that you're superhuman.
Look normal, man. Look normal.
Normally that tips police off.
But I'm not normal. I'm superhuman.
No, man, no, you're not. Don't tell people that. The government will come get you.
There's a wrong way going about it.
All right, and that's the news for this week.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the news this week. What do you guys say? It's been a while. There's been a lot of DVD releases in the meantime.
Perhaps.
But what do you say we do some DVDs, everybody? You ready?
Do it.
All right. Steven, you remember the lyrics?
I think I remember one or two of them.
All right, let's try it. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Woohoo! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs!
Huh?
Somebody's calling you, Jason.
Oh, my phone. Oh my god.
That's a crank call.
That guy loves the DVDs, Bill.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
It's all for America.
Oh, man. It really is. This guy's very patriotic.
America!
All right, Bill. DVDs.
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, July 5th, 2011. Starting with one of my favorite films of the year, Takashi Miike's 13 Assassins Blu-ray and DVD.
I still got to see this shit, yo.
So good. So good.
Nice.
We die.
Huh?
Okay. All right.
So it's got, does it have samurai in there?
It does have samurai.
Oh, sweet.
Lots of them.
Just kind of, I know you've like kind of talked about, we know it's about samurai and stuff, but are there awesome action set pieces in this?
There's like the entire final hour is one gigantic action set piece.
Oh, nice.
It's just this huge battle of like 13 guys versus like 1,000.
Nice. Sounds cool to me.
Yeah, and the first hour just sets it up so perfectly. Like by the end of the first hour, you're like, yeah, these guys got to kick some ass. Yeah,
and
do
it. Is the fighting just badass when they're taking
these
out?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Wow.
It's so good.
Great samurai killed when they have to.
And there's moments. There's
do they have
moments.
To, Bill?
Like shit you don't expect at all.
Nice.
It's just like, whoa!
I guess there's a clip from the movie right there, Bill.
Yep, real sound.
Yeah.
All right. Achilles tendon.
And no, Steven Seagal was not in it, thankfully.
And he doesn't narrate where they cut at.
No, and they're not called samurai or whatever.
But it's samurai.
Samurai. All right, I don't even know why I mentioned this, but only it's on Blu-ray. Be Cool. I think that's the sequel to Get Shorty.
Unwatchable. I can't sit through that shit. I've tried to watch it a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've seen Get Shorty, but I'll pass on Be
Cool. Eating and watching TV.
Yeah, that's my hobby, dude.
All right, next we have...
That was the last good Alien show, by the way, Bill. Alf.
What did ALF stand for?
Alien life form.
Alien life form. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of sad that Willie ended up being like a crackhead. Poor Willie.
Willie, he's a crackhead.
Yeah, the dad. He got picked up for being a crackhead in Hollywood.
Oh, don't tell me that. That's so sad.
No, it's true. I think
ALF
drove him to it.
Mouth.
Oh my God, Willie. I wonder if ALF is also a druggie.
No, well, I know the guy that created ALF was a druggie.
Right, yeah. They made that movie about
Permanent
him.
Midnight, yeah.
But the guy who did ALF's voice, has anybody ever seen this guy?
I don't think so.
I have a theory that ALF is real.
He looks real.
It's just a theory I have.
Sure? I think that dude's real.
When cats go missing.
That would really solve so many problems.
I'm going to friend Gordon Shumway on Facebook, since he's on there.
Gordon. I wonder if there is a Gordon Shumway on Facebook. That's fantastic. I bet you there is. Some asshole did it.
This is a All complete right. disaster.
Moving on, we have really just garbage on DVD.
All right.
Of the 13 Assassins, it's not a really good week. Yeah, I'm sorry. Boy Meets World, the complete sixth season.
Topanga! Yeah!
Maybe you remember.
I told you to shut up!
Hey! Guess that guy's not into Topanga.
Want to pick up Dynasty, the fifth season. Because everyone loves Dynasty.
You watching Dynasty, bud?
Not me.
It's one of my favorite lines from The Lost Boys.
Oh. Moving on, we have Four Weddings and a Funeral on Blu-ray. That guy loves Four Weddings and a Funeral.
You know what? That's a funny movie. I like it. It's a good movie.
He especially likes when Rowan Atkinson says the Holy Spigot.
The Holy Spigot. Bill, what's the name of the director who did that?
Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Yes.
It was Richard Curtis, wasn't it? Or no, Mike Newell. Richard Curtis wrote it.
Yes, he's good, because then he did Love Actually, right?
Yes.
And then he did The Boat That Rocked?
Yes, he did The Boat That Rocked. God, I love that movie.
He's fantastic. I like this
And
guy.
He has a fantastic featurette on it where he goes through 40 minutes of deleted scenes on the Boat That Rocked Blu-ray.
Oh.
And he's basically showing you how they had so much material, with the choices he made, what to cut, what not to cut, he could have made a completely different movie.
Wow.
There was so much material.
And you know, Bill, you sent me this movie for Father's Day. Thank you. You know what when I opened it up and saw that, and it was the Blu-ray, because here in America, not where you live, Bill, in America,
yeah. No,
you've got the import, and so you knew that it was the uncut version. Like in America, we got Pirate Radio, which they cut the film down, which is just not going to fly with me because
lame.
I love the movie the way it is. So when I opened it up and saw it was the import of The Boat That Rocked, I was like,
America!
And it made no sense, but still, it was.
Yeah, and it's region free, which was always good.
Yes, yes.
And all the extras are in HD. It's a really great Blu-ray.
It really
of a really great film.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yep, that's one of those movies that you could like sit down with Heather and just enjoy.
Yeah, and I also got the special edition, whatever it is. It looks like a book of the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah, I love those book editions.
It's pretty badass. I believe they made one of – I don't know if it's on Blu-ray, but I remember when it came out on DVD, they had a special booklet kind of thing of Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, they did. And there's a Shawshank Redemption Blu-ray that's like that.
Oh, yeah. I need that.
Fly like the wind!
And it's gotten this really fantastic, almost Drew Struzan-like cover art on it.
I forgot that. I need to own that.
You know what's funny about the Shawshank Redemption is it's always on like TNT or something.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really think about owning it because it's always on, but you really just need to own it.
That guy really likes Shawshank.
And I hate watching it on cable because the commercials are just excruciating.
Right, yeah.
Every 10 minutes.
It's a movie that does not need to be interrupted, much like our show tonight on Ustream.
Next Blu-ray is for you, Civil War freaks, Gettysburg and Gods and Generals Limited Collector's Edition. These are those films that Ted Turner funded. Like Martin Sheen and Stephen Lang and Jeff Daniels.
You know
and
who this set is perfect for? Noah Wiley's character on Falling Skies.
There you go. I thought you were going to say Freddy Forks.
No, not for me.
I actually saw Gettysburg in the theater with a friend and his mother, and I remember I was so freaking bored. And it's a fine film. It's very historically accurate, well acted, but the pacing, and it's so long. And there's actually an intermission that, yeah, it was
that's
like
a sign of a long movie.
That's a long movie.
So bad. Well, I shouldn't say that. The experience was bad. Film, not that. I've never seen Gods and Generals, but I've seen Gettysburg.
I just remember one of my favorite parts of Falling Skies is when he picks up the two books and he weighs on, does he want to read 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea or Tale of Two Cities?
Tale of Two
Cities.
And he weighs them.
Yeah. Which ones? And did you get the feeling, was it because it was lighter or also he didn't want any science fiction?
Yeah, I was kind of debating that. Like, what were they trying to say there?
Like, he said
was
enough
it because he doesn't need any more craziness?
Any more kind of, like, otherworldly crazy shit. Just, how about A Tale of Two Cities?
Yeah. But it's, that was a really good moment. Right, moving on, we have, I hate to even mention this movie because I despise it. Hobo with a Shotgun.
Don't say
Blu-ray.
That.
Sing
it, Steven. The theme song.
Hobo with a Shotgun.
Awesome.
It's serious.
I'm pissed right now.
And I have not watched the film based on Bill's recommendation.
Well, you know what? Some people enjoy it. Some people really like the stupidity of it, and they find it funny. I just found it just asinine, just completely and totally worthless.
Just monotonous. Just...
Yeah, it's like violent to be violent, making fun of the whole, you know, the grindhouse stuff. I've never been a fan of those sort of films. Never. I just don't find them entertaining.
Well, I mean, if I've seen one and I enjoy it, but that doesn't mean all of them. Most grindhouse films are horseshit. They're just unwatchable crap. So why doesn't someone just try to make a good film?
Of making one. That's, I didn't really understand the whole point of Grindhouse, the Tarantino, and because I found Tarantino's film to be monotonous.
I liked Tarantino's. I didn't like Robert Rodriguez's. I thought his was so over the top that he lost track of even what the hell he was trying to do. He just
Hobo with a Shotgun is.
Okay,
it's so over the top and just gross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's just like, what? This is not, there's no redeeming value in this.
What I like about Death Proof is just what Tarantino does best, the conversation scenes and stuff. All the other crazy shit, I don't know, but.
It was a little long, but I mean, I liked it.
Yeah, it's long.
I was bored by it because I didn't give a shit about any of the women. I wanted Kurt Russell character to kill them. I was cheering for him, not the women.
You mean Stuntman Mike?
Stuntman Mike. I wanted Stuntman Mike to kill every one of those girls.
The first group or the second group?
The second group. The first group was hot. The second group, I was just like, who are these women and why should I care about them?
I just got to say, that's like the greatest shotgun sound ever.
What is that from?
It's from 24, like the final season, where he's shooting at the windshield where the president's inside. It's awesome. Oh. Nice! Right, Steven, huh?
I'm gonna get you! Wait.
Did Steven just say, I'm gonna get you? What the hell was that?
Was it me? That was a drop.
Alright, yeah, I will believe that.
Quiet, freeze!
All right, moving on. Just on DVD, Trailers from Hell, Volume 2 from Shout Factory.
Boy, bad attitude.
Trailers
from
Hell.
This is a site that Joe Dante helps run, where pretty well-known directors, John Landis, about the only work he's getting now, Joe Dante, Guillermo del Toro, Edgar Wright has done a few, where they choose trailers from not particularly excellent films, but films that they appreciate. And they talk over the trailers about the films.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that... It's not funny, but it's nice to hear thoughts on these different films. I remember one of the first Trailers from Hell that I watched was Edgar Wright talking about Danger Diabolique, the Mario Bava film.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, it was actually the final film that MST3K riffed on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those movies that you can really appreciate for what Mario Bava did on such a small budget.
When he explains that most of the film is in the camera, the way he did it, it's really kind of fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it is fascinating, but the film is terrible.
You sure?
I mean, well, I shouldn't say it's terrible, but it's just, it's so goofy. And but it's pure 60s kind of craziness.
Yeah.
And the Ennio Morricone score is painful. It's painful because it's just a repeat of this do 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 da da da.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You want to bang your head into the wall. It's just constant. And then there's this other song, da na 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 na, da na 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 na, just over and over again. He's like, what was he thinking when he did this? But, yeah, the Trailers from Hell can be really interesting just to see these directors talk about things that have influenced them or something they love. It's one of those, like, little insight things that I've always appreciated. And I'll always check and see what they're up to.
Cool.
Yeah, but they're releasing those on DVD and leave it to Shout Factory to pick something like that up.
No, not for me.
finally, Blu-ray of the week. This is a film that has been screaming for the Blu-ray treatment since Blu-ray's been coming out, and finally it's getting its due. Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn, Overboard.
Wow.
I mean, come on, this is a laugh-out-loud romantic comedy.
Don't miss. Nothing but don't miss. Don't.
So he really likes Overboard.
Apparently. I mean, who doesn't, really? I mean, Gary Marshall, this is his.
I've seen it. Seen the.
And LA Weekly says it's full of off-the-wall jokes, very funny performances.
Off-the-wall jokes, okay.
All I remember is Goldie Hawn makes a putt-putt course or something.
Yeah,
right?
They design it based on the
Seven Wonders of the World.
Wonders of the World, yeah.
It's nice and crunchy.
I just remember that Goldie Hawn wears a thong at one point in it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that was before her ass dropped to her ankles. Yeah. It's not a horrible movie. I've seen it way too many times on cable and whatnot. And it's one of my dad's favorite movies.
The kids are awful, but all of a sudden it gets all sentimental where you're like, oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, my dad loves that sort of shit.
Steven, remember that we watched
Adams
that?
I had to console
you.
One of his favorite movies, and I hate him for that.
It's like, Steven, it's going to be okay, buddy.
It was like that. I was inconsolable.
All right, and that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Pretty awesome. Yeah, that guy loved it. Good times.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And
acceptable behavior.
Yeah, definitely not. All right, everybody, that was episode 240 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening, and thank you for welcoming us back. And sorry about the weird ads and stuff, but you know, we got to pay the bills, right, Steven?
That's right.
That's right. It's been us all along. I had you fooled. But go to nowhereinmulberry.com, where you can find a link to our forum, where I would very much like you to leave comments on each and every episode, Bill.
Each and every one.
Breaks my heart a little when I see like a 2 next to one episode. And I'm like, that's what they thought of this episode. 2 comments.
So interested in it.
Spent all that time working on it. And it's only worth 2 comments.
Spent our Friday evening. You spend your Monday and Tuesday editing.
And just, that's all we get. Just
thought you didn't believe in that rating
system. Like,
hey,
great stuff, guys. Like, yeah, okay, that's what we're worth. But if you want to go to the forum and do that, go ahead. Also, leave us a voicemail at 1206-202-3491 or send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. How great would that be, Steven?
That would be awesome.
You know, if I looked one day, like Bill, like, you know, say like a Thursday morning, the latest episode had like 20 comments.
Holy
oh my
crap.
God.
My head would explode.
That's how I'd feel.
But I can always predict who's going to post.
Yes!
Swiley. Good old
God,
Swiley.
Yeah, but Swiley's like our lifeblood.
Yeah. I'm telling you, if Swiley didn't leave feedback, I'm done.
Yeah, honestly, you're right.
Like Thursday morning or even a Friday, I'm like, I don't know if I should even bother. And I read his comments, I'm like, all right, we'll go into it. We know this guy's listening, right?
Yep. Like that.
I hope not. I really hope not. That would take on a whole nother element to his feedback.
It's like, wow, he really likes the show too much.
Dopeness.
Dopeness. Nothing but dopeness. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you when we see you. Steven, Bill, thanks for being here. It was great talking to you guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. What do you say?
Yes, we'll see you next time.
All right. Good times, guys.
See ya.
This is a complete disaster. You know, if it were for me, I would send you home now.
Unfortunately for one of you, the party's already over.
Just don't see what the hell you saw in that guy.
Boy's got a bad attitude.
Can you give me a second to even breathe?
Shut up! Shut your goddamn mouth!
Just lay off!
You hear me, asshole?
There's the wrong way going about it!
Let it explode in a blinding flash of destruction.
Hey, fine.
You sure?
I told you to shut up!